It's time for Twit. What a great panel. We have Brian Brushwood, John C. Dvorak, and Kevin Rose. We're going to ask him about the end of Dig and its new beginning. We'll talk about Google Ventures. We'll talk about self-driving cars, Apple, Samsung, Twitter, and more. This Week in Tech is coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new Winamp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for Twit is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Twit, This Week in Tech, episode 366, recorded August 12th, 2012. Are you running Butter Plus? This Week in Tech is brought to you by GoToMyPC from Citrix. GoToMyPC connects you directly to your Office Mac or PC from any other computer, or your iPad or iPhone too. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today at GoToMyPC.com and use the promo code TWIT. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get two free books. Go to audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. And by stamps.com. Use stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, visit stamps.com, click the radio microphone, and enter TWIT. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continuous, unlimited backup for your computer files, only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com and use the offer code TWIT to get two bonus months with purchase. Welcome to TWIT, ladies and gentlemen. This Week in Tech, the show that covers the latest tech news. And boy, I think this is just a stellar panel. I am very excited about the show today. Starting on my far right here with Mr. John C. Dvorak, Dvorak.com/blog. Channel Dvorak. Good to see you again, John.
NoAgendaShow.com. Is that what you meant?
NoAgendaShow.com.
Who had the over-under at 20 seconds?
That's Brian Brushwood from Schwood.com, Scam School Brian. He's also not the biological father, the spiritual father of the Diamond Club.
Oh, my gosh. Are you talking about the top 10 best-selling book on iTunes?
Unbelievable.
Wow. 2 weeks and
you
running.
You beat my 20 seconds, wow. By the way.
And I'm very pleased to say one of the original twits from Google Ventures, Mr. Kevin Rose.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
How are you? How's
things
going? So since we saw you last, you got engaged and your beautiful fiance is sitting right there.
Hanging out.
That's great. Congratulations. You did it in Japan. It was beautiful.
Yeah, Cherry Blossom Festival. It was
so
awesome.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
You're going to have to forgive me because I know stuff about you from Path that I'm not sure whether I should say or
from
not.
From Path? Definitely that one thing earlier. Probably.
That
not.
Was the only one?
I mean, what else is there? I don't think that...
Well, the engagement.
Do I have other things on
Path? It could
Path,
have been but... the engagement was only on Path.
No.
You know, this is public. A problem with Path because I love Path, but you forget that it is kind of private. It's just your close friends and that everything you see is not public.
Right.
And so I apologize. For
what did you do? You busted him on what?
I mentioned the fact that he bought a submarine. It's not a big deal.
You bought
deal.
A submarine?
I did. A very small yellow submarine.
Not a big deal.
A yellow submarine?
Yes. Since we saw you last, Dig kind of got dissolved and went,
pulled a phoenix, right? Rising
well,
from it, the ashes.
Yeah, that's what's interesting. So the engineering staff went to the Washington Post.
Right, the patents went to LinkedIn.
That was kind of the surprise. We didn't realize that LinkedIn bought the patents. But by the way, those were more significant. I think LinkedIn's paid over $1 million for the patents.
LinkedIn paid $3.5 million,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. But what got all the attention was $500,000 or something like that. From Beta News.
Yeah, how mad were you with all the crappy coverage that's saying, like, sold for $500,000. Yeah. You probably have that in your couch right now.
What did they even buy? They bought the name.
Yeah, they bought the name and the traffic. So Dig still had around 15 million monthly unique visitors. They wanted to...
Shouldn't it be worth more than...
Well, yeah, this is the funny thing. We had offers for around $1.5 million to sell the product off, but the investors were really cool. They wanted essentially the product to go to someone that would take care of it and do right by the name. And so... There was an option to sell it off to someone that essentially was going to turn into kind of a link farm.
Right.
And they were like, no, we'd rather make sure it lands, has a good soft landing. So John at BetaWorks stepped up and said, you know, we have Bitly, we have Chartbeat, we build cool products. You know, does this sound like a good match? And we were all for it.
Yeah, I love Bitly.
I love Chartbeat. We use that.
Well, if you think of anyone that understands like the real time web and the nature of being able to detect trends as early as possible, it's those guys. And
now they said they rewrote the code from scratch.
Yeah, from scratch.
It is a very different looking site, but it's much more modern. It kind of looks like Pinterest or The Verge. Or,
yeah, I like the design.
You know, this is the new look. This is how everybody looks nowadays. The kind of the magazine form. But same idea, right? In fact, I still have my account. You can see I'm still Leo Laporte on Dig. And
yeah, there's a lot of stuff they have to add back. Like, there's none of your history there. If you go down to the bottom, you can see, like, more trending articles. You can see the little graphs
there. I love
the graphs. That are
That's
trending
nice.
Up. Yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
So I mean, you're happy with what they did with it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these guys... They basically came in with nothing and said, we're going to completely rebuild this in 6 weeks. They went for it, and this is what they launched, which is a great kind of V1 of the product.
It's actually pretty impressive.
I'm glad they got rid of a lot of the stuff. They killed a lot of the features and just stripped it down to its
essentials. I should have worn my Dig 4 was my idea shirt. I still have that.
That's right.
That shirt. What killed Dig now that you're... Well away.
Now you're going to grill at me. Shows have to be nice on the show, and here we are doing a news
dumb. I feel like I should take a bullet for Kevin.
It's all good.
That's a reasonable question.
Yeah, just criticize him.
This is all fair game. I'm totally down to answer this kind of stuff, especially now that it was really hard for me to announce
it. You
talk about any of this stuff when I was on the board, when I was still involved, when we were trying to sell the company. Like, it was difficult. But, you know, I think that if you look – in hindsight, when I look back on Dig, I feel that there was – even when we had Dig V3, before we even launched Dig V4 – we started to see a slow decline in traffic. We knew that things were starting to go down. I mean, Twitter was breaking news stories faster than anyone else. If you remember on Facebook, a lot of the stuff that was being shared initially was kind of like relationship status and photos and things of that nature. And all of a sudden, news stories started being propagated throughout Facebook. And these other social sites just came up around us and started eating a lot of our traffic. And so I think that Dig 4 was a reaction to a lot of that. Like, how can we get things back on track? And the thing that's difficult is when you have a company that's, you know, 50, 75 employees and you're focused so much on month-over-month growth, it's, like, really hard to not try new crazy big things to keep up with that burn that you have going on. I mean, you have a huge staff of people that are you know, pulling decent salaries. I think our monthly burn at one point was, you know, $700,000 to $800,000 a month when you have that many people on board. You know, Dig was built on... a bunch of our own actually purchased servers. We were created before Amazon S3 and all these other services.
You were so excited when you bought that rack. And,
there was a lot of hardware costs that went into hosting Dig. I mean, we had 500 plus servers sitting
there
in racks.
Co-load.
All co-load. And with that goes with a lot of high-end network administrators. I mean, there's a lot of costs involved there. So for us, you know, I think that we should have kept it extremely small. Looking back, we should have kept it 10 people max. It would have been a very profitable, awesome little... side at 10 people, and we would have been a little bit slower when it came to new features, but I think that would have been okay. I mean, if you take a look at what Reddit and some of these other sites have done, they've kept it extremely small from a burn standpoint, and they've been able to keep true to who they are, and I think that's the first time we got in a lot of trouble is when we decided to not build features for our core audience, but instead build them for what we thought was going to bring in a different audience and more traffic.
This is why you're valuable at Google Ventures now, because having had this experience, you can talk to startup founders and say, hey, dude, slow down.
I definitely try to,
you know,
to have them avoid a lot of the mistakes.
And you have
made
some credibility because you've been there, and so you're not just saying this like some abstract academic thing. This is something you know about.
Yeah, no doubt.
God, what a journey, though. Like, I remember hearing about it. You explained to me what you were up to with Dig. I don't know if you even remember this. The first time we met was when David Prager brought me out to teach you how to blow fire for a screen, or I guess, I don't know if it was Attack
and
of the Show or Screensavers
at the
time. Yeah, and then we got out there, and the folks at G4 were all like, I don't see the tech angle, and they canceled it,
right.
So I did two segments for Unscrewed instead. Man, but that's, it has been amazing to watch the transformation, the entire, and a privilege to take part in, you know, my small bit with Revision 3 and kind of watching everything go through. I mean,
it's
just
crazy 8 years. I mean, it's, can you believe it's been that long? Like, I think we've known each other for over 5 years now, six years.
Yeah, no. I think, I want to say it was like 2005, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty early back there.
So then, so you started Milk, and I have to say, everybody, I was very surprised when I heard that you had sold Milk. Daniel, a bunch of people from Milk went to Google.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, I thought he wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I mean, we launched our first app, Oink, and it had some decent traction.
I liked Oink a lot.
We won a bunch of Apple Design Awards.
Beautiful.
We had about 275,000 users download it. But Google came in and gave us an offer that we couldn't say no to. I mean, we all made money. The investors all made money.
But like, from you personally, was this something – did you have to say, hmm, is this what I want to do?
Well, here's the deal. Oink was at a point where we were getting ready to launch our second version of it. We were happy with the traction, but we weren't blown away by it.
Right.
It wasn't like dig
it wasn't type viral.
Crazy viral growth. And so, you know, am I going to sit there and beat on Oink for the next four
or
5 years?
But you said that from the day one at Milk, we will fail fast and we'll,
right.
we'll move quickly.
And we
would have
shut down and gone on to the
anyway.
Next thing. We had a couple ideas of things that we wanted to build, but really nothing that I was overly excited about. Like, there was nothing where I was like, wow, this is going to be the next
big
thing
Google
that I want to
say
do.
That turned your...
Well, we sat down with Bradley Horowitz, who...
Love Brad.
Yeah, he's an amazing dude. He's over at Google Plus, and he's like, you know, we really need some help from a design and product standpoint. Like, would you be interested in talking to us?
And so, he was right, by the way. Did you have anything to do with the Google Plus iOS and
Android
apps?
I came in at the very tail end of that.
Because
so like,
they looked a lot like Oink, and I thought, boy, that looks like maybe Daniel or Kevin had something to do
with
was,
that. We saw it for about, 3 weeks before it launched.
It was too quick. There was no way you could have influenced
it. No, it was already kind of baked at that point.
Yeah.
So,
but when we first talked, you said, I can't tell you what I'm doing at Google.
Right.
I'll let you know.
Right.
And the rumors were product guy, Google Plus guy. Did they say to you Google Ventures from day one, or was that something that came later?
Well, basically, they were pretty cool in that they said, come in, kind of get your feet wet, float around, and see where you want to land.
They're actually known for doing this, aren't they? They hire people without a job.
Yeah, it was nice that they kind of let us pick where we wanted to end up. And so, you know, I think they would have liked us to stay on Google Plus. But Ventures was something I had already done, worked with the Ventures guys in the past. I raised money with them through Milk. And so, I mean, angel investing is something that's been a hobby of mine for several years now.
Right.
And I've
several times on this show gone through your list of investments, which are very, very impressive.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Zynga, OMG Pop, Twitter, Fab. I mean, some really good investments.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I've been lucky to be involved with some great companies, so it's been awesome.
So, and it's been fun at Ventures?
Yeah, Ventures has been really cool. I mean, it's basically Google gives us $200 million a year to invest, and they essentially say, go out there and invest it in all the crazy, cool new ideas and products that you enjoy. And for us, we're not really a strategic fund to Google in any way, so we can invest in competitive things. We're essentially a separate company.
So you don't have to ask permission from Larry, hey, you know, this is competitive. Do you mind if we invest in this?
No, that's not going in anything. So it's great. And so there's seven of us doing investments, eight of us now.
You get to be like a judicious Santa Claus sitting on your throne, being like
I got the checkbook,
like you.
Bag.
But there's freedom in that, though. I mean, I would imagine it's obviously empowering to you, but it's also it solidifies the importance of you remaining or retaining that user perspective.
Yeah, I think that when I sit down with the entrepreneurs, the thing that I kind of help bring to the table, or I try to bring to the table, is product advice. So I sit down and we go through their idea. Oftentimes it's kind of wireframe stage. It's, getting ready to launch something in a few weeks. And so hopefully I can help out there. I probably give, an average of 5 to 10 suggestions, and they maybe go away and implement one of them into their product, which is kind of cool because it still feels like I'm staying involved as an entrepreneur, but really I'm just kind of giving advice. So a lot of coffee shop meetings, a lot of working out of San Francisco, meeting all the new startups, and it's fun to see stuff before it's launched. I mean, you know how it is. When at Tech TV, I'm sure you still get it here. You get people that come in and have a product that they're about to launch, and you get to see
they
it before
got that
anyone
wild
else.
Look, where
they got
it's
that
like they
crazy
can,
look in their eye that this is going to be awesome. They're fired up, and you get some of that energy from them. It's a lot of fun.
Well, and it's like one of the you see the passion coming from the person who created it, but then also you have to put the reality filter on the other side of it,
right?
Because no matter how excited they are, if it's something that's not right for the marketplace,
right,
if it's something that a user doesn't want, then obviously Google doesn't want put their money towards it.
Exactly. And I think Google's our whole investment strategy is if it's good for the internet and for all things tech, then it's ultimately good for Google, which I think is the right way to approach things.
So what should the cafeterias do you like the best?
There's the important question.
Cloud is probably my favorite. It's really good.
All right, look, and I don't know why this is stuck in my head. I guess because there's an article about it in the doc, but is there anything at Google that you're more excited about than the self-driving cars? I am so sick of driving. I'm sick of other people driving.
So that's one of our stories. 300,000 miles without an accident. In fact, the only accident that happened with self-driving cars was when the human was driving.
That's right. I can't wait.
Well,
I see them all the time on campus. They have the little thing at the top that just spins around.
Yeah, the LiDAR.
Yeah. It's kind of scary. It's kind of Cylon-like in a way.
So I had a pilot on the radio show today. I didn't ask him what airline, but I said, he flies a 777. I said, you let the plane land itself? He said, all the time, you have to. FAA regulations say you have to every certain amount of time. You have to let the plane land it to test the autopilot.
Yeah, you know, I landed in a plane that turned that thing on. They didn't warn us, and the plane took a two-bounce hit.
So it doesn't do that good a job? I didn't ask him that part.
Well, no, I think it does most of the time, but this took a two-bounce, and the pilot had to come on and apologize.
It
was a rough landing.
See, this is the perfect situation for pilots.
It was way up in the air, and then
they could take credit for all the nice landings, and they could blame the computer for the ones that suck.
If this flight went smoothly, it
could have been buffaloing me.
Did you see the crash landing that happened with the GoPro?
No.
Oh, there's a plane that went down with a GoPro camera. The guy had a GoPro on his head.
Holy cow.
It is insane.
This is a guy who?
Some guy.
The pilot?
GoPro plane crash?
Wow. And he was,
we can
watch it.
Prager had it. He was sending it around.
But I'll tell you what, man. It's what I think of with the Google cars, self-driving cars.
You know what? If you search for GoPro and crash, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Is it the one who was flying a Piper Cub?
No, it was like a small little plane. It crashed in the trees. It was insane.
So before we take a look at this, something that the author Andrew Main, the guy who wrote
Ready Player One.
No, Public Enemy Zero.
Public Enemy Zero. I always confuse the two.
I do too, right? But Andrew Main once told me, because I get bent out of shape about legal issues, but he said, don't worry, Brian, technology outpaces legislation. And I was like, what does he mean by that? And I realized that the Google cars, self-driving cars, is exactly that. Because what does it mean to drive drunk when the computer's doing the driving? What does it mean to drive when you're old and blind and you can't get around? It's like the technology will fundamentally alter, and all of a sudden so much legislation becomes completely irrelevant. All of a sudden magic occurs. What are you guys looking at?
We're looking at the plane crash.
Did you say something?
I know.
What were you saying?
This is a different one. I'm over here. I'm talking. I have a vision for the future.
That's an RC.
Oh, this is
talking
RC.
About, oh, I'm talking about that. Whoa. Party foul.
Was somebody wearing a GoPro?
That's
because I'd like to see that on instant replay.
All right. Well, here. Let me just recap this. Because one of the things that's also awesome, obviously, Google put out that awesome video where they had a blind man being able to go out and get Taco Bell and so on.
By the way, we put that in one of our shows, and we got a DMCA takedown from Google.
They're working out the bugs.
Hey, well, here's your Google guy right here.
Yeah.
I don't
He can't help us.
You answer to everything.
He can't help us.
You have to help us.
But also, think about your parents, and think about them in 20 more years and their ability to stay mobile and stay at home if they don't have to drive, you know? It's like they can – there's so much more. We're going to live longer, fuller lives because of this technology.
For our parents, this should be up for us.
Well, yeah, okay. Especially the millennials who are a bunch of drunken alcoholics.
See? Yes.
Stop them
from driving.
You. You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
Turn the audio up on this.
Check this out.
So turn the audio up. This is – we'll start at the beginning here. They're flying around in a little small plane. This is in Idaho. That's the propeller, by the way. And
Oh my god.
Oh, that's bad.
It decreases.
Well, this is the side view. Watch this.
What happened to his plane?
Now watch.
By the way, everybody survived this accident, by the way.
Yeah, but watch this. You'll see when they pick it up.
Why don't you sit down?
Hey, Bill, you all right?
Yeah, I'd be a little shaken up.
Wait till you see the pilot. Hold on. They're going to show the pilot in a second. It's crazy.
Did the pilot die?
No, this is like having a live
dig. Barely alive.
Are you okay,
Alex? Yikes.
Oh,
wow.
What?
Oh, that's communist. They always cut out their good parts. It's communist.
The pilot was bloody and it was awesome.
Communist.
He lost like a few fingers.
If you'd like
I'm
to
serious.
Watch the rest, log into NBC.com. Speaking of which, this is from Deadspin.com. Apparently, the NBC commentators... during the Olympics, during the U.S.-Spain gold medal basketball game, got a little confused about somebody who was in the audience here. Let's
penalty.
Just...
He's going to get to that free throw line. Darren Williams stepping into that three.
They think that...
I know I'm going to put that face
that's Jesse Eisenberg in the audience.
We've got every executive of note, it seems, worldwide attending these games.
Every executive.
They think it's Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, do they?
So funny.
They talk about friending... I often confuse Jesse Eisenberg for Mark Zuckerberg.
Look, man, I don't blame. I mean, how hard must it be? And I don't know what Dane thinks about sports ball, but I would imagine it's very difficult.
Sports ball?
Sports ball, yeah. Where they put it through the giant H or something. There's like an oblong. I don't really follow it.
Apparently not.
But I would imagine it's very difficult to process all that live and feed that back to people. You got a million things juggling.
I just thank God I don't have to do live television.
It's the worst.
It is so
production
hard.
I've ever seen, this NBC thing. They leave scores out. Right, it's horrible.
You know what they did,
and
though?
By the way, what about this one Jamaican guy? The guy's so roided up, it's ludicrous. He looks worse than Ben Johnson.
You mean Usain Bolt?
No, the other guy. The guy always comes in second to him. You see his shoulders are all... The guy looks like a cow. I mean, he's like been so roided up, it's ridiculous.
That's not NBC's
Nobody
fault.
Nobody says, yes, it is.
Well, how is that NBC's fault? You mean they should say he's roided up?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's a
like
risky...
He looks like a cow. Cows do not look like they're on roids.
I think it's a risky thing
well, just take
just
a look
to
at
assert.
Him. So it was a Harper. I can't remember. Second,
I guess it's, you could say he looks like he is, rather than he is. You could say he looks like he is.
No,
he looks like a cow.
He flatly stated that he is definitely
no,
on
stop it,
steroids.
Stop it!
He
stop
definitely
it! Stop it!
Gave him steroids.
I said roided. That doesn't mean anything.
His hemorrhoids is what you were talking about.
He's got hemorrhoids. Okay. Running
he
so fast.
Preparation H. That's what
the guy
saying.
Has to stop every so often and do a rub down. It's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, sponsor time.
Now, yeah, I'm going to take a break because I don't think this is going to get better.
and why would it?
And why should it? I do. Now, let me ask you, Kevin, you probably, do you want to recuse yourself from Google Stories? Because there's a few. And most importantly, I think this change in the search algorithm, which I think is a little bit.
So I have nothing to do with the search algorithm.
I understand.
No, can you help us fix the search algorithm, you don't have, Kevin?
If
you
want listen, to avoid... I'm having trouble with my YouTube account. Can you please give me a hand?
Any of you guys lose your passwords? Want me to reset some passwords while we're here? Like...
Yeah.
Speaking of roided up, you've been lifting. You've been working out.
I've been working out a little bit.
It's the cafeteria.
He looks good.
Yeah, well, he's going to look bigger as time goes by. You watch. Warning.
Why do you think
this
everyone's
cafeteria.
On roids?
I'm talking about the cafeteria. They serve roids there.
You've been some roids. You got a little bit of guns going on here.
Nothing going on.
This show brought to you by our friends at Citrix, makers of Go to My PC. You know,
Go to My PC. I've never heard of this.
You know,
what
it's
is
summertime.
This?
Yeah, tell us what it is.
Well, it lets you. This is kind of cool because perhaps you want to go to the pool, you want to take off earlier, maybe you'd like to take a vacation. And I think people sometimes think, well, I don't want to look at the office computer. But you know, when you get back from a vacation and your inbox has 18,000 messages, it would be nice if you could, like, clear out stuff once in a while you're on vacation. Maybe there's an emergency, the boss calls or whatever. Go to My PC lets you connect directly to your office, Mac or PC, anywhere you are from any other computer, including your iPhone or your iPad. So don't have to take your laptop with you on vacation. That's fine. But you've got your iPhone, you've got your iPad. Emergency comes out, you can log in. So this is the thing. 30-day free trial. I want you to do this now before you head out. The summertime's here, you know. All of France is closed this month, you know.
Yep. Half the French leave on the 14th of July, and then they go a month and a half.
They're gone. I remember I was in Paris in August. I wanted to go to Bertillon, which is
famous
ice cream store. I thought August ice cream, perfect. No, they're closed.
Yeah, of course.
What?
They're closed.
Yeah,
in
no,
August.
They are. Most of France is closed in August.
It's the strangest.
Unless you're in Biarritz, and then it's someplace like
then
that.
They're open. Maybe France needs Go to My PC.
I figured out a new use for Go to My PC.
Are you on? Wait a minute. You're not really on your home computer.
Oh yeah, no, right now.
Look at that.
In fact, check this out. Here we go. I'm gonna hold this over here. You can switch to this camera.
Okay.
So one of the things you could do with Go to My PC is on an iOS device. Whoa. You of course can't do Flash, right?
Right.
But this is the sales tracking for the Diamond Club, and it's a Flash application. So I'm gonna let me go and zoom in here.
Isn't this cool with the Retina display? You actually have the detail.
There you go.
There's a little mouse.
So there's the Diamond Club. Oh.
Is this your computer at home?
This is my office computer.
Wow.
So it's like I can log in and I could actually see this is a Flash application.
You're going to watch a Flash video.
It's a Flash application. Showing the sales
for
the Diamond Club.
What happened last week?
We released.
That's all. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. You want to try this? Go to mypc.com. Click the try it free button, the promo code TWIT, easy to do, try it free button. Again, did you see that working on an iPhone? That is pretty awesome.
I do it all the time. And you know what else I do it for? Is on the Google Plus, Hey, since you're at Google, on the Google Plus mobile app, I love the mobile app, but the problem is when you put a link in there, it doesn't find a preview and do the nice thing that it does on the desktop.
Can you fix that?
I will open up, go to my PC, and I will copy and paste. I'll actually email a link to myself. I'll open it up on my home PC.
Wow.
I'll plug it in.
A lot of work.
I know. I agree. So it's a get on that. But until then, I'm going to just go to my PC.
Objective-C right now. Make some changes to the app.
Go in there and change the app.
And committed. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we thank them for their support. So you mentioned Diamond Club.
Yes.
This is the fabulous bestseller from Patricia Harkins Bradley, who, by the way, tweeted me. I was really honored. She actually tweeted me. I felt like a celebrity.
It is shocking to me how little of this Justin and I have any idea who's doing what, but we just trust them all implicitly. Like, we trusted all the authors that they would write original stuff and that they wouldn't plagiarize it off of some blog or something like that. And we trust the people who run the Patricia Harkins Bradley Twitter account. But, like, it's on its way out. It's slipping out of the top 10 right now. But now is when all the coverage is happening, and so we've enjoyed.
I think it could come back.
You never know.
Wait, this is the top 10 book on the
here. I'll show you.
If you open up the top 10 best selling books on iTunes, you will see an erotic fiction novel called The Diamond Club.
I'm really curious. Can you talk about, like, how much do you make if you're on a top 10 on the iTunes?
Oh, no. Yeah, we totally did. As
can
a matter
he?
Of fact,
he will.
We
don't even start asking him. He's going to tell you.
We already did a whole episode of NSFW where we broke down the numbers. Take a look at Customers Also Bought. Originally, it was all my books and Andrew Main's books.
Yeah.
But now, look, it's
where
all...
Where is that?
It's right there, the pictures.
Oh, here.
It's all
porn.
Like, at this point, it's self-sustaining. It's all people,
these are people who
love sex novels, and they're buying sex novels.
Those are not sex novels. They're romance novels.
They're boning novels.
Especially this one. That's a romance novel right there. I can tell.
But this has been a fascinating experiment. Now, when we launched it, we acted like, you know, we called it a hoax, a prank, and all these things. Now that we're 2 weeks in, we're calling it an experiment and a satire.
But, you know, this one's 99 cents, too. So I think somebody got a message. Because yours, you know, if you wanted to get 50 Shades of Grey, which is, of course, the king of this category.
Sure.
You would be spending $10 per volume times 3 volumes. But yours was only 99 cents. And don't believe the print length. 31 pages, no.
That's wrong. It's like 64,000 words. But here's the important thing. People want to know the numbers. And we talked about this on NSFW. But basically, to get in the top 10 of iTunes book sales, you're looking at about, when we hit number 4, we were doing about 2,200 copies a day. Now we're down to less than 1,000. I'd say we're on 900 copies a day, and we're still in the top 10. And so you can actually,
if you watch that episode,
you can break it all down. But
do
especially
you think
if you want
to people who think they're getting an actual romance novel will be kind of dismayed when they read chapters like Nerdiest and Dirtiest?
It's got 5-star reviews. Apparently, people are liking it.
Okay, so here's the thing. We don't
sizzling griddles.
We all
no lights, no camera, all action.
I think she has sex at an IHOP during one of these. But here's the thing. We started off.
Three-legged Larry.
It's actually 2.5 legs. Here's the important thing is we thought that it was just going to be a joke. But at some point, like, somebody's enjoying it because we're starting to see these 4-star reviews where they say, sex is great. I kind of wish there was a little more of a plot. And I don't think that's our people
making
those reviews.
Each chapter was written independently by people who had not read any of the other chapters.
Yeah, we basically sat on NSFW and sort of sketched out. We're like, here's the name of the main character.
There's a club. It's in San Francisco.
Right. She's having revenge sex with everyone she can.
Mostly
everyone read a chapter.
Silicon Valley. You've got to read this because, like, a lot of romance on Cleft is Silicon Valley. Bigwigs.
Am I in there?
You know what? Maybe not by name.
None of us have read it. None of us have read it, but we think
we can write
you.
You're in it.
Well, the media coverage has been phenomenal because I think out of everything, our favorite thing was somebody wrote it up on an Italian blog, and it's all in Italian. I have no idea what it says, but I'm like, that's a foreign language, and they're talking about us and our experiment.
But you've sold more than $12,000 worth of books. You've
20,000 copies. 20,000 copies.
It's 20,000 bucks minus Apple's take you
that's
at about 16,000.
That's 30%, and then Vuk takes 10%.
Oh, Vuk takes some.
Yep, and then, of course, so that's down to what, like...
16,000, no.
No, like 14...
12,000.
12,000, there you go. And then taxes are going to be like, what, 33%? It's called 9,000.
No, brother.
That's it.
So what are you going to do with it?
First and foremost, we promised everyone that we're going to spend it on the authors. We'd like to give everyone an autographed copy of a hard copy.
Oh, that's a deal. Sounds like one of your contracts, Leo.
Yeah, you get a copy of the book.
And from the beginning, we called this the Huffington Post model, where they do all the work and we keep all the money.
Well, they're idiots.
But then, and of course, we're going to have a big party at Dragon Con that we talked about, and we're going to buy them T-shirts and stuff.
Whoa.
I wrote the Diamond Club, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt is what I'll say on there.
That's good. I like that. That's a good start. Anyway, I thought an interesting story and obviously a success in many, many ways. Let's talk about Google's new search, which Danny Sullivan, I think, said, how did he put it? The copyright police win. Google has announced that they will begin taking into account the number of copyright removal notices they receive for a given site. If a site receives enough copyright removal notices, they will penalize it in the search results.
Good. Good for them. I think that's great. Yeah. It's about time. Google should use its leverage itself. These guys, you're putting copyrighted stuff on the site, and, you know, the Belgian idiots that said you can't even look at our sites.
Right.
Although you can put it on robot.txt, you could put a robot thing in
there. Yeah, they'll ignore it.
I didn't expect to be this guy, but I'm gonna try to explain the other side of this issue.
Okay, here it is. Let me set the scenario.
Okay.
I go on Google. Oh, let me see. Brian Brushwood, I want to find his book.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden your book crops up.
Yep.
Or a site, a link into your site.
Torrent link.
Well, yeah. Maybe it's a torrent. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's your website.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go to your website and then I order a book. Okay, now what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that a takedown request is not an actual indictment. Or I guess it is. It's an accusation is all it is.
Google says, and this, I don't know how this changes it. They say a valid takedown request, but I don't know what valid means.
Especially when you run the risk of there being mass hysteria.
This makes me nervous for two reasons. One is we get takedown requests for every show. In fact, we'll get a takedown request for showing that clip from NBC of Jesse Eisenberg. Now, Google sometimes takes the shows down. Sometimes they just give us a notice saying, hey, we're not going to penalize you. But we get them all the time. Now, the second thing that bothers me is Google is specifically exempting YouTube, their own site.
Okay. Ah, well, that would be annoying.
there is a follow-up.
Like we can do it. Yeah.
There's a follow-up article where Google said was that they are treating YouTube just like any other site. There are other factors beyond the number of takedown requests, and I assume that it has something to do with the number of takedown requests relative to the total traffic that they see on that particular site. So I'm less worried about that, but what I'm more worried about is this Lend Inc. story. Did you guys see this?
Mm-mm.
So there's a website called Lend Inc.
L-E-N-D-I-N-K.
And somebody essentially stirred the pot. It's gone now. You won't be able to find it. It's reduced to ashes. It's been destroyed because basically—
It was intimidated out of business.
Well, the idea what behind it was it's created by a disabled veteran who wanted to create a site for people who had lendable copies of print books to find other people to lend them to. Correct. Yeah. And link them together and like
Which
lend
them. Totally around. Legal.
Exactly. Exactly. Someone got a bug up their butt and decided to start Twittering all of the different authors saying, hey, man, your stuff's on this pirate site. Your stuff's on this pirate site. They built it into a witch hunt. They exploded all over the place. They started calling for actions. They submitted takedown requests. And the site was reduced to total ashes. He was only allowed to get his, I don't know if it's the domain or some other aspect of it, only able to get it back if he promised to individually. And this is one guy, one disabled vet with a website that essentially ran itself. And they're saying the only way it can come back is if you personally review every single takedown request. And he's like, I don't even know if it's worth it at that point. So here's the problem. This guy's website, under this rule, would be completely buried because he's had so many takedown requests, even though they're completely unjustified and completely felonious.
The Electronic Frontier Foundation has come
fallacious
out against...
Fallacious is what I meant to say.
Fallacious?
Felonious? Did you say felonious?
Said felonious, which is a felony.
I heard that too.
It's completely hilarious is what I meant to say.
EFF's headline is Google's opaque new policy lets right holders dictate search results. Now, I agree with you, John. If Google is you know, saying, hey, this is a pirate site. And by the way, most of the sites, they gave a list of the sites that would be affected immediately, and it's almost all torrent sites. Mm-hmm. I guess that's not unreasonable. My concern is that the takedown process itself is kind of flawed. We get takedowns all the time. You know,
it is
the
flawed.
Mars,
totally
the Mars
flawed.
Rover video.
And by the way, half the stuff you're getting to takedown notices for is fair use. What you just
all
did.
Of the stuff is sometimes, though, it's not even from a rights holder. So that's another. This is a YouTube flaw. I don't know if it's a. And then, by the way, they say this is not the same. We're not going to use the same mechanism that YouTube's using. This is a different mechanism. In fact, they're very clear. If you go to Google, these are takedowns from search results. So if you go to Google and you say, I want to have a takedown, they say, now, if this is for YouTube, go somewhere else. This is a different link. This is for search results only. So they're very clear about making that distinction. But the Mars rover landing, video NASA posted of JPL and people cheering was pulled down by the Scripps Howard News Service. It was actually blocked for a day or two because Scripps Howard has local television news broadcasts that featured these clips, uncopyrighted clips from NASA, in their local news. The content ID system said, oh, yeah, I recognize that from the local news, issued a takedown. The takedown.
Automated.
I presume it was automated. And now what that means, though, is that NASA had to notice it, had to appeal it. And, of course, Google immediately responded to put it back up. It's not completely brain dead. But that's problematic. And for our content, we get taken down frequently. We make the fair use argument, usually gets put back. But for news content, that a day or two later could be worthless. So
now
I just think the process is flawed.
It's
not the same process. That's the YouTube process. But that's why I worry about this.
Well, I'm going to flip back now. I'm going to take John's side again and say,
I don't even know what my side is.
That as flawed as the mechanics are on this, they're working out the bugs on it. They're figuring out. I would a million times over much, much rather see Google tinker with the system to reduce the visibility of pirate sites than I would to see some heavy-handed legislation come in and just smash everything. So it's like I applaud the legislation, but this particular implementation, you know, there will be growing pains. There'll be bumps along the road, but I would much rather see private industry take it on than involve the government.
And EFF says that. They say, look, they're not seizing domain names as the government does.
Right.
But they say, in particular, this is the Electronic Frontier Foundation, we worry about the false positives problem that I was just talking about. We've seen the government, for instance, wrongly target sites that actually have a right to post the infringing material or otherwise legally display content. Without details on how the process works, we have no reason to believe that Google won't make similar over-inclusive mistakes, dropping lawful, relevant speech lower in its search results without recourse for speakers.
Well, okay. Well, you say without recourse, but shows like this are a recourse, and Google will respond far faster than any government will to make corrections because they have a profit motive for it.
But I'm quoting the EFF, takedown requests are nothing more than accusations. And this is a point you made earlier, Brian, of copyright accusations of copyright infringement. No court or other umpire confirms that the accusations are valid. Demoting search results, telling the searcher these are not the websites you're looking for based on accusations alone, gives copyright owners one more bit of control over what we see, hear, and read. And I agree that the problem is it's a pendulum. And it's been swinging way in the favor of copyright holders.
Sure.
And, I'm a copyright holder. We create content.
The thing that's tricky here, though, is that you can have anyone with a large audience. Like, let's say right now you said, you know what, I really don't like, and then any company, throw it out there.
Yeah, take them down.
Take them down. I want you all to go out there and independently create, 500, 1,000, 10,000 of these notices.
Right.
Send them in. It's going to damage them, right? Like, they're just going to take down the site and knock it out of those search results. Hopefully they have other secret sauce behind the scenes, like they say that they're going to be taken into account here before they do something like that. But I would just be worried that, someone with a big audience can exploit this.
I think that's always the problem with email black holing. It's a good idea to stop spam. But what happens when we saw that before with Maps and Orbs was that exactly that would happen, that people would use it to target other people. And it's such an automated system, it's very hard to prevent that. Good.
And so what do we conclude from this debate?
I think that was a very good conversation.
I don't know.
I'll just go ahead and fix it.
Just put it in right now.
That would probably be Python, not Objective-C, in that case.
That's right.
Just mentioning That Google Ventures, your little arm, you might know a little bit about this, just invested $8.2 million in DocuSign. I think that's really interesting.
Yep, I was there.
So, okay, so let me ask you real quick about this. And here's what I like about DocuSign is the best advancements in technology take some little thing, something that seems insignificant on the surface, and figures out a way to massively improve the efficiency and the pleasantness of doing it. As you know, as a stage performer, that means every time I do a stage show, I have to sign a contract, and every institution has their own rules about how they want it. Some fax this or sign that. It is.
And you're faxing it. That's the problem, is all this. Anytime you buy a house, you're faxing this stuff.
Right, fax is the worst.
Right. In fact,
because they want your signature. I can't imagine that's more secure in any way.
We had to deal with Telex. To do this gig in Indonesia, they had to, for the visa, they had to telex over.
Did you have to go to the computer museum to do the telex? I mean, how'd you do it?
Apparently, there are companies that survive.
And paste it on a yellow sheet.
Apparently, but I'll tell you, that's what I like about DocuSign is that they make it so super easy. And the faster that we can,
with this company?
Oh sure. I've had a number of contracts that had to be done, and that was the weird part. Indonesia sent me two documents. The RCTI is the big television station over there. They sent me the contract, and I had to DocuSign it, right? But meanwhile, the Indonesian government had sent over a telex that I had to go to the visa office and deal with all that stuff.
Cable that Brian Brushwood fellow. Let's sign him up today.
Yeah.
So DocuSign does what, Kevin?
They're essentially e-signatures, like legally binding e-signatures, so that you can go in and if you're buying a house or whatever it may be, it creates this secure, encrypted little envelope that you can go in and securely sign something tied to your IP, tied to your email address, so they can prove it's actually this person.
And it's who has to subscribe to the service? Both parties?
The receiver doesn't have to pay anything. Okay. The sender. Okay. It depends on what they're doing and who they are.
And is there
personal or business? Or
is there legal support? I mean, is there a law supporting this?
Yeah, absolutely.
There is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Federal law.
Yes.
So this is good anywhere in the U.S. and apparently good in the Philippines.
I'll tell you what's Indonesia. Fun is trying to do your signature with your mouse. Just sort of...
Well, is it a signature?
Use a Wacom tablet.
Is it an actual signature?
You adopt a signature. So you can adopt a signature.
It could be XXYYZZZ.
Well, it automatically creates a little font for you.
That's kind of that seems a little archaic.
Well, I mean, it takes...
Shouldn't my signature be a
your
public
signature
key?
Or yeah, that would right exactly.
Instead of my actual, like, I sign my name.
Yeah,
signature?
Also, I got problems with my Gmail. Can you fix that too?
No problem.
Any more? So space? You don't have to sign. You don't actually.
No, you don't have to sign anything. No, you just adopt a signature, and it creates a little font for you. It's like 2 seconds. It's that simple.
But and then there's some sort of cryptic. It probably is a public key associated.
Yeah, there's you have to go on the site and read all about it. There's a whole
and keep in mind also, what is a signature? Because anytime, and this is part of the reason.
Yes. What is a signature? I've wondered myself.
And what I mean by this is contract law. Like by the letter of the law, the moment that I agree to this price and you agree to this event, we have a contract. We have an oral agreement, right?
But then all I have to do is shake your answer.
Sure, or even just talk over the phone, right? Yeah. But essentially, everything beyond that is just more proof, if it ever gets ugly between us, that we can hash out in a court of law. So if DocuSign is able to say, no, we have a verified, it came from this IP address, it was signed by this person, it was verified by this email address.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a handful of things they use.
And so if the standard of evidence for DocuSign is as good as a forensic analysis of a handwriting, then at that point, it's just as good as that signature.
Right. I presume this is a competitive space. There have to be many other companies doing this.
Adobe has something in there. HelloSign's another one. There's a handful of companies that but DocuSign is
are they the market leader right now?
Oh, yeah, by far.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'd never heard of them.
A lot of big companies, HP. There's a whole handful of huge companies that use
them. Not enough of them as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, everyone go to DocuSign today.
Well, until the real estate industry adopts it. Because, I mean, seriously.
They do now.
They do now.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, it's funny because they came in to pitch us and they were talking about their business and how fast it's growing and the numbers are insane. But one of the things I thought was interesting is they see themselves competing with FedEx overnight. Because so many people overnight documents are signed.
Sure.
And they're like, we're disrupting FedEx overnight.
How much more sense it makes. If the product that you want is a solidified agreement between two willing parties, then there's two ways to do it. I mean, you know, DocuSign's way, of course, is electronically. Let's figure out some way to secure that both parties agree. And then the other side is, let's mail a piece of dead tree 7,000 miles to the other side of the world.
That'll prove it.
Exactly.
Another investment you probably know a little bit about. I know you were an investor in early investor in Square. Mm-hmm. Jack Dorsey's really cool company that lets you charge things with a little piece of Square. And then the new business, which I love, is Pay by Square, where you walk into a...
Have you used it?
Yeah. Isn't we it have cool? a coffee shop
oh, really?
Over here.
That's awesome.
I have an app on my iPhone or Android phone. I have this coffee shop is called Acre over here. And when I walk in, I just put it on my bill. I'm Leo. And he sees it on his iPad. And I can add a tip, and it's done.
Are you an Android guy now, full-time?
Oh, this S3. Awesome.
This guy is...
Well, are you allowed to carry iPhones in the Googleplex? You've played with this before. This is the one you
I
put
in Android.
In
Russia.
Yeah,
well, I have an iPhone.
I'm using the Nexus cool version. Which is
Nexus is nice, but you know what I want to get? And then we'll talk about Square.
So here's the weird thing about Square. What is it?
We're talking about phones. We did a quick
phones.
U-turn.
Phones.
We'll get back to Square in a second. But as long as we're talking about phones, so supposedly...
You have a button on yours.
Yeah, I like the button. I like a physical button. Google apparently doesn't. When they went to Ice Cream Sandwich, they eschewed buttons, screen. But I like buttons still. So Apple's supposedly, rumors has it, September 12th going to announce a new iPhone.
I'm so excited.
26th. Really, are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because what do you think Apple could do makes it competitive?
Honestly, how can you beat this?
So this is the whole thing. When I went to Google, they gave me an Android phone.
Right. Probably a Nexus, I would guess.
They gave me a Nexus, and they basically said they were very cool with it. They were like, you know, we develop apps for the iPhone and for Android, so use whichever one you like. We're going to put our software on both devices.
Sure.
And so I actually tried to switch over full-time, so I carried both around with me. I love the extra screen real estate that you get on the Android devices. It's just so much nicer.
3.5 inches is starting to look
small. You are the big Note guy. There's a new Note coming out.
That's what I was about to say. August 29th,
just
2 weeks before Apple's announcement,
right.
Samsung's going to ship the Galaxy Note 2, and they said...
It's a blood feud.
I think it's fascinating. This thing is 5.5 inches. It's even bigger than the last Note.
Hello,
and they're going to use a new thin screen technology that's like a flexi screen they claim is unbreakable. And because it's so thin, they have bigger battery. They have a thinner phone but bigger battery. I think this is going to be – this is the problem Apple's facing. Apple iterates once a year.
Right.
Samsung is now iterating every few months.
Yeah, right, because they have these different model lines.
Mm-hmm. And so it's
also
tough.
Confusing, though,
it's
at the same time. Like, when I look at what's the, like, I don't know what the latest Samsung phone is. There's something coming out.
That's it.
There's one coming out next week,
here
too.
Here it is, right?
The week after. It's like,
the
S3.
S3 is the current hot.
It's beautiful.
You know what? Look at whatever I'm carrying, Kevin. It'll always be the latest, unfortunately.
That's right. Leo will always have the latest and greatest.
I am looking forward to the Note 2, and I will buy it.
Are you sponsored by Samsung?
No.
Do they hook you up with free devices?
No, I bought that one.
No, he's got nothing but money. He just buys his stuff left and right. He's got rooms full of phones. It's unbelievable. And will he give us any of them? Will he give you one?
On the back door
no, he won't
phone.
Give one that's away. True. He keeps them all.
So here's the thing I think of with Android versus iPhone is iPhone, an analog for PC gaming, basically, right? iPhone, you've got these slow, iterative, you know, major generations that come about once a year, give or take.
Exactly.
Likewise, in gaming, you have console iterations that happen every 3 to 5 years. But as a result, every time with the console comes out, that's the new hotness and everyone goes to it because you could write custom software for it. But meanwhile, PC gaming is very boutique, but like at this point, PC gaming is so far ahead of the curve with Xbox. Xbox generation, the hardware is like, what, 5-6 generations behind at this point.
Exactly.
So right now, PC is seeing a big push.
You know what?
Likewise, you get the very fast iterations with Android phones,
right,
because they're always coming out with new ones. And I think where you're really going to see this happen is with Google TV. I wouldn't be surprised if Google TV eventually becomes a competitor to a lot of the console, the set-top boxes, because consoles very slowly, you know, every what, 7-8 years, they're not even, you know, we haven't even heard about the next PlayStation or Xbox. But meanwhile, you've got stuff like Ouya, you've got the Sony Google TV coming out. I think that gives them a first mover advantage.
I agree. No, I agree. And I think that's why it's going to be very compelling or very interesting anyway to see what happens with the iPhone 5, we'll call it that, even though Apple won't. It's going to be LTE, but that's playing catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 4 inches, but that's playing catch-up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to, they're doing something I think is risky. They're changing the 30-pin connector for a 19-pin connector. That's actually more risky than it is a move forward. I'm sure Apple thinks it's a move forward.
Why do you think that's risky?
Because a lot of people like me have a big investment in 30-pin docks, 30-pin radios, 30-pin cars. We'll have to use an adapter,
though.
Yeah, we'll have an adapter, but
and
that's
it's always
never
like $25, and you're like, why is this $25?
It's never as good.
And it's always expensive.
And it won't dock as solidly, probably, right? Because it'll be in an adapter.
Have you seen the new adapters for the new MacBook Pros?
Yeah, I have one. I hate it. The giant MagSafe.
It's a little tiny thing. You know it's 25 cents to 50 cents max cost.
I bought one.
And it's like $30.
Yeah. No, I have a Retina. I love the Retinas. So, John, are you changing the language to Portuguese?
You
what
know,
are you changing?
Because,
no, he changed it to Russian last time.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
If you think about it, it's quite funny.
It's language learning for you,
Leo.
That was
an awesome reversal. You're like, well, it's not dumb. It's not juvenile. If you were smart, you,
if you think
it's awesome.
It's quite funny.
You got so much junk on this phone. It's unbelievable.
Well, like what?
I mean, just page
you like my
after
fish
page
tank?
After page of stuff.
You like this?
Fish
I have
tank
the,
has got to be draining your battery.
No, it's great.
And, really, and what's the love portrait of Paul Ryan doing on your thing anyway?
Wow. He's my new hero. Are you kidding? Now, that's Flipboard. Once Flipboard came out for Android, that was a huge differentiator. That really was a huge differentiator. I just think it's going to be tough for iPhone. I don't think it's an, I don't think
I
it's automatic. And I think
agree.
That this is be the first time it's not automatic.
These guys are really aggressive. And now I think they're also mad because they get sued.
We're going to take a break. I want to talk about the Apple-Samsung lawsuit because there's lots going on. That is a lot of fun. I was a little miffed. Judge Lucy Koh blocked the picture from 2001, A Space Odyssey, of Dave using a tablet. And she said, no, you can't admit that, Samsung. It's been a very interesting trial. And I really want to ask you about Square and Starbucks because I think this is huge.
I want to talk about app.net as well.
Huge.
You know what? I am on app.net. I like app.net. Dalton Caldwell finally got funded. Self-funded, but it's good. It's very interesting. Are you on app.net?
I'm not.
I can hook you up.
So in your face, Kevin Rose, what?
I can hook you up. But first, let's talk a little bit about something I know you are already signed up for, right? Audible.com, the greatest audio books in the world.
Never heard of it.
Tell
me about this Audible.
Oh, you're so good, Brian. You do really a good job.
So he gets on the show.
No. You should see what a good job that
The record for most assists on a sponsor read.
Amazing. Audible.com, it is the 100,000 book bookstore, audiobooks. I'll tell you, one of the things that I missed, as I grew up and got busy in the world was I used to love to read. And for a while, I just didn't get to read. Then, during my commute to the Tech TV, I had 2 hours a day. All of a sudden, I'm reading again thanks to Audible.com. I've been a member since 2001.
I got a pick for you.
500 books later. I love it. And, you know, that's one of the great things I like about Audible is they have the app now for Windows Phone 7, Android, and iOS. That means your entire library is on your phone, which means you can listen at any time. You can any book you've ever bought, you can go back. I'll look at my library here. They're all in here. I just love it. So Audible.com plays back on almost any device. You can listen to great books. There's a Steve Jobs bio. That was a great book. I loved listening to that. What are you recommending today?
So I just finished a book by Matt Ridley called The Rational Optimist. Have you read this?
No.
It is utterly fantastic.
Putting it on my list.
And it totally made me have so much faith in humanity and our ability to survive and thrive. One of the things he does is he basically makes a case for, hey, man, things are just going to get better. Technology is awesome. Free trade encourages this marketplace of ideas, causes people to compete, to come up with more efficient solutions. And that's why humanity, by all measures, is getting better and better year after year. And one of the things he says that kind of blew my mind is he says, stop measuring wealth by dollars or pesos or any other currency, because what does that mean?
Right.
Instead, measure wealth by what you can get for what the average person
makes.
Has to invest in time, right?
Yeah.
So in ancient Babylon, it would take 6 hours of effort in order to make enough money for the average person to buy enough oil for an hour's worth of reading light. 6 hours of labor for an hour's worth of reading light in the middle of the night. Then you jump forward to the Middle Ages. Now all of a sudden it's, we'll say 2 hours. I'm sure all these numbers are wrong. But 2 hours of effort to get a single tallow candle. By the time you get to the 1800s, it takes around 15 minutes of effort to get enough kerosene to light your lamp. And nowadays with our compact fluorescent bulbs, with our LED lights, the average salary in the United States of America, it takes a half second of labor to get an hour's worth of lighting. Yeah. And so he also makes an interesting
case. That's a really good way to measure it, I think.
He also talks about, like, Louis XIV, of course, one of the most extravagant kings of France. He talks about what he had as far as available. He would apparently have 10 different meals prepared for him every right. single night. And so tremendously wasteful. They would have to slaughter all these pigs. And he would just go and be like, I want that. Nowadays, we get that for
a walk out my front door. I've got 15 ways to have a hamburger.
Right. We have the knowledge of all the greatest thinkers in humanity, stuff that we travel in ways that were unimaginable to the pharaohs.
I often think that. I often think, you know, we live like kings. We
Absolutely.
Really do. Better than kings.
Better than...
We have hot and cold running water.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? And it doesn't take a single slave to do it. I mean, it's amazing. It's I highly enjoyed it. It totally... fundamentally altered my perception of reality.
I often think that we do take for granted what a world, what an interesting world. Now, obviously, it's prosperity is not evenly distributed. There are a lot of people who don't live nearly as well as a peasant in the 14th century, and we need to solve that. But
sure,
I think
sure.
that this is interesting. The Rational Optimist, How Prosperity Evolves, Matt Ridley. I'm going to put it on my list. I just downloaded another book I wanted to read about money. The End of Money. This is the same kind of category. This is philosophy of modern times, kind of. The End of Money: Counterfeiters, Preachers, Techies, Dreamers, and the Coming Cashless Society. I was reading an article that referred to this, and this is what's so great about Audible. You read about something like that. Now, I would normally go to a bookstore, a library, maybe look at my Kindle. Yeah, Audible, you just download it. Boom, you got it. Seconds later, you're listening to
it. When do you listen? The gym, or what do you...
I listen in the car, the gym, when I walk the dog. I actually now play it. I set it up with my Sonos, so I plop my iPhone in the Sonos, and I listen while I'm cleaning house or walking. Just I lie in bed and listen. I love it.
Really?
Yeah. What do you mean? I clean house.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Well, you do, but not in that way.
I do not have a cleaning lady. I don't. I clean my own. I clean my own toilets, John.
You sit there and you scrub the floor in the kitchen.
I do. I think it's humbling. I think it's important. I think
I agree.
One has to stay in touch. Yeah, you and I are rich guys. We understand. You got to stay in touch.
What,
if only.
What
Audible.com. Here's what you do. Go to audible.com/twit2. You get two choices. Now you can, if you're really interested in political philosophy, there's two books right there that you could listen to. But if you love fiction, if you love nonfiction, we had Daniel Suarez on Triangulation on Wednesday talking about his new book. It's on Audible. Kill Decision is off. If you didn't see that interview.
I did actually, because everyone sent it to me, because you told him about the Diamond Club, like one of my favorite authors.
You told him about the Diamond Club
and he liked it?
And
that
you know,
amazing.
The other thing is he talked about his days. He said the best thing for being a writer, John, you'd be interested in this, he ran D&D. He was a dungeon master
for
a decade. And he said, I learned the art of storytelling as a dungeon master.
I want to play D&D awesome? Again.
We should have a... You want to do
Dude,
a show?
That's a
yes.
show. Are
yes.
you kidding me?
Absolutely.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you'll be
me?
Packing
in.
Them in
Every
with this
Monday?
One.
That would be amazing.
I'm serious. I will do
will
a pen
we
and
do
paper.
Does that tabletop gaming
yes,
show?
Yes,
but
yes.
I think we should do in D&D. You want to
yes,
be the dungeon
absolutely.
Master?
I know I can't be the master, but I'll play.
We got to find somebody who's a good storyteller.
Play a kick-ass elf.
Wait a minute. Daniel Suarez.
Sure.
There you
can
go.
Be
our dungeon master.
Okay.
Leo, you would be an awesome dungeon master.
Oh, I don't know. I'll have to practice up. All right. Deal. Deal.
I'm serious. I will come out here to play
D&D.
Pen and paper, though. None of this
computer. Pen and paper. No. Suarez wrote a weather program for D&D. It was one of his first computer programs.
Do you know who I should pitch this to?
Who?
You know, I'm like really good friends with Ernest Cline, the guy who did Ready Player One.
Yeah.
He and I both came from Austin. We used to do gigs 15 years ago at the Electric Lounge. He would be amazing as the game master for that.
Deal.
All right, I'll talk to him.
I'll
give him a call.
And after with the show, I'll talk to you about where we're going to put this, because I have an idea that
this
I don't want
The end
right
is near.
Yeah.
I have a very good idea. We always wanted to do poker, you know, remember that?
Mm.
We wanted to do, you know, instead of Twit, it should have been a poker game. And then we'd do the talking, but we'd also have a hand to play.
Something to do.
Something to do, because it's so boring. So Starbucks and Square together, I think this is really interesting. Now, you probably know more details about this. Is Starbucks going to start having an iPad in every Starbucks?
No.
They're not going to do the pay with Square thing.
No, they're going to accept a Square as a payment type, but they won't actually have the device and the iPad and the swiper there.
That's too bad, because that is amazing friction-free experience.
Tell me the whole thing. I don't know anything
free.
About it.
You pull up your pay with Square, and you're checking out, and you use that to check out.
They just don't have an iPad.
Is this an NFC deal?
No. It's believe it or not, it's Wi-Fi. I think it's Wi-Fi. Or is it Bluetooth?
No. It just uses the internet.
You don't have to be on Wi-Fi. It just goes out to your cell provider, tells it that you made
okay, so it's using whatever internet access you have.
It goes to the phone company.
So here, I have it right here, and I'll show you what it looks like. So you get a card case. They used to call it card case. Now they call it pay with Square. And in your card case, you have tabs for everybody you do business with who supports this thing.
So it's kind of like when you walk into a bar and you say you want to open a tab and you hand them a credit card. Instead of this, you just open your phone and you say, I want to open my tab at this bar. Now you have an open tab at the bar.
So it gives you a directory of all the places that pay with Square. And here's our local one, Acre Coffee. Now I can look at my tabs. Let me launch my tabs thing here. Where is that? So we could tell it's been a while since I've used that.
And so this is easier than pulling out a credit card and throwing it at the guy?
Yes.
Well, if you have an account.
Because as soon as you walk in, okay, so this is the cool thing. As soon as you walk in, you show up on, there it is, you show up on their screen. They see that you've walked in. They say, hi, Leo.
So you just can't walk in without somebody saying, hi,
you
Leo?
You can turn it off, but I leave it on.
Look at how happy she is.
She's like, happy to see
me. Hey. Oh, would you like, Leo? And
by the way, if it were her, I probably
Leo,
would.
What can I get you?
Hi.
Leo, why are you coming back so often?
Yeah. How much of a tip?
This is the fourth time today, Leo.
It really works well. And so all you do is you say, I don't know, you know, I have
that's a loyalty program right there. Bam.
It's a big loyalty program. Just having it. Really, just having
it. But think about that, man. How many people would offer you a loyalty program, but I can't be bothered. Everyone's always like, you know, hey, do you have a Ralph's card?
I always lose my
card.
Yeah. I hate those
cards.
It's
like, screw that. I end up overpaying for everything because of it.
So when I go in,
you end up overpaying for everything.
You don't have your card.
Well, because I'm always on the road.
Your Safeway
and it's always,
card, you know, or whatever you need.
Exactly.
So you can have it set to auto open the tab whenever you're near, whenever I'm nearby. It's using geofencing. It uses GPS, mm-hmm. So it knows I'm nearby.
Yeah.
I can see previous payments, so I can see everything I've bought, talking to that nice lady.
So you're buying right into the cashless society model.
This is awesome.
So
it's
everything
not NFC.
Can be tracked. Everything
it.
You do will be noticed. It'll
Wait
go right
minute.
To the insurance company saying, this Leo is going to drinking too much coffee. Jack up his rate.
I don't know. I think that's a straw dad.
A straw what?
Straw dog.
A straw daddy.
A straw daddy. What is it? It's a paper tiger. It's a straw dog.
Yeah, you tell it to the insurance company.
I don't think the insurance companies really.
Oh, yes, they do.
What if he's drinking green tea and then your rates go down?
That's true.
My rates.
That could happen.
That could happen.
It's
but then
too
you have
complicated.
To drink green tea all the time.
Well, by then we'll have single payer insurance.
Tell you what, though, man. It's like I'm kind of on JCD's side when it comes to cash. There's nothing like just cash money.
Cash money.
It's filthy. That cash has so many germs on it.
Coins are the worst.
Do not touch that stuff.
Who uses pennies anymore? We need to get rid of pennies.
What a stupid idea. In fact, the Thank real you. Problem with pennies.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I challenge each of you guys to walk around with $3,000 in 20s in your pocket and just check out how it feels.
You did that like you were rubbing the money on your chest.
Until somebody steals it.
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of rad. I went in.
Wait a minute. You carry a money clip, don't you? You carry a roll.
Yeah, actual cash.
Do you have your roll with you?
It's over there, but I'll tell you what
there I did. It is. Go get it, guys.
Wait. I'll tell you what, though. Some of these international gigs, a lot of the performers don't trust wire transfers, and so instead they'll actually pay with hundreds. And then you come back with $7,000 stuffed down your pants.
I love Square. I think Square is huge. One of the concerns, and I'm wondering when you invested in them, don't you think something like Visa is just going to come along and say, thanks, nice job, or Verifone, which is already
done this. Why don't they
just
buy them? They're
thanks,
more likely
nice
to buy
job.
Them.
See you guys. We'll take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of competition. If you take a look at Intuit and others, they've made small little credit card swiping devices that connect to the mobile phones. And, you know, it's I think that Square is very competitive when it comes to rates, like the percentage that they actually take. And as long as they remain that way, I think that they kind of have a leg up. They have the best interface by far.
I think it comes down to user. So that's what you've determined. It comes down to user interface.
Especially the tools that they provide for merchants.
It's very elegant.
They're awesome.
Yeah, it's very elegant.
The
I
iPad
love it.
Solution.
When I sell stuff via Square, I get a receipt via email. You, as the buyer, get a map of where you bought it. Mm-hmm. You get all sorts of information that I think is very cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
By the way, good news. You know, when you die, Google's going to pay off your wife.
Wow.
I heard this.
Hush
this
money.
She's over
10
there.
10 years or something like that?
What's the date? When's the date? Have you set a date yet?
The date when he's going to die? Are you sick?
I'm up. The wedding.
Okay.
Oh, the wedding.
So it turns out chief people officer at Google, Laszlo Block, was being interviewed. And he said, this is in an interview with Megan Casserly of Forbes magazine. This might sound ridiculous, but we've announced death benefits at Google. Apparently, they'll pay your salary, half your salary, for 10 years to a surviving spouse.
That's pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
The spouse will see all stocks vested immediately. Any child will receive $1,000 a month from Google until they reach age 19 or 23. You should get pregnant immediately. Yeah, yeah.
She's on it.
You can't be on it on the couch over there.
You don't know that.
She said thumbs up. I'm not saying her name because I don't know. It's Summer Tomato. I don't know if I want. I don't know if it's private or not.
Her name is out there everywhere. It's Daria Pino.
I thought it was Summer Tomato.
SummerTomato.com.
I'll give her a plug. SummerTomato.com. Exactly. So yeah. Summer Tomato is going to get
there.
Half of your pay for 10 years. All the stuff. This is. Now, the funny thing is, I don't know if there's any benefit to Google. You're dead.
Oh, there's a tremendous... I mean, look, the fact that we're talking about it is a benefit to Google.
It makes you want to work at Google, but everyone wants to work at Google anyway.
Everyone's doing... Look at what Amazon did here just a couple weeks ago. Did you read about this?
No.
So they offered... now they're offering to pay for your college, no matter what the degree is, if you're working at Amazon.
That's fantastic.
Before, most companies say like it has to be a degree in this field. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're saying like any degree. It doesn't matter if it benefits Amazon or not.
Wow.
It's awesome.
That's
great. I think more companies should do things
like this. It's headed right to where you can see where it's headed.
Welfare state.
Company town.
Oh.
That's going to be the next thing Google does. That's my prediction. Company
you know who town? Is doing that?
Company town.
Shay of Zappos.
Yeah, Tony, yeah.
Tony Shay has decided to buy downtown Las Vegas. It's a whole downtown LV movement. They want to make it a company town for Zappos. And what they want to do is bring in other startups, bring in, you know, hipster businesses.
Ooh, hipsters.
I think, is it downtown LV?
This is a very hipster shirt you got on today.
Hey. He's such a hipster. Is it downtown LV? What is
so it's, when you say company town, we all think of, you know, shanty towns where I pay my employees Brian Brooks or whatever.
My soul to the company store.
Right, but like, what if everybody loves it and everyone else
they
is jealous
that
they
don't? They
always
did until the company folds or they turn the screws on the poor employees and say, you know, that free stuff we were giving you, it's going to cost you a little money now. You know, that's what happens. But it's fine. Everybody wants to knock yourself out.
They are going to remake downtown. It's called the Downtown Project. I'm sorry. It's downtownproject.com.
In Las Vegas?
Yeah.
The old, where all the casinos
the dumpy,
are?
Yeah. The dumpy, not the strip. Area. The
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I know, the downtown where they have
Fremont
the
Fremont Street experience.
Fremont
down
Street.
There, where they got
the where experience. The laser lights are. They're going to have
lasers everywhere.
Right. That really narrows it down.
Where the lasers are in Vegas.
You know where the lights are bright? That's downtown.
So, real quick.
Zappos has allocated $350 million to revitalize downtown Vegas. $100 million real estate.
This is not a residential area.
$100 million residential development.
Yeah.
$50 million in small businesses. $50 million in education. $50 million in tech startups. I think this is really exciting. It's Tony, but it's effectively it's Amazon, right? I mean, Tony's.
No,
it's Tony's
Tony.
Money.
Yeah, wow. Apparently they.
That is, I think that is fascinating. So that's the new form of company town. Do you think there's anything wrong with that, John?
Yeah, of course I do.
Really?
Yeah,
I think it's.
What
the
are you not against? You're against government. You're against companies.
I'm against government because, especially when a company becomes like a government.
What?
And this is these things have never worked out. They just enslave the labor. It's a form of enslavement. I'm telling
you. Websites.
I'm living in the company town because it's a good deal. Yeah,
but,
right.
But you.
That's okay. Why don't you just? You can do it. You can say whatever you want. I don't care. I can be by myself with this thought. I'm only basing this on what happened in the 30s. And then the Depression era and during and even before then when they created
the
these places.
The railroad
or
barons.
Let's go back to the areas.
Coal mines. Oh, my soul to the
company. A lot of company towns around coal mines.
So,
it's
wait,
a perfect
wait,
example.
Do you hate the fact that Google has free food?
16 times.
I think, I'll tell you what, everybody I know that's went to work for Google has gained 50 pounds. Minimum. I know some guys.
Look at Kevin. No, he's a beautiful man.
It's because she's beating him.
She's beating me. There is a thing
Summer
called
the tomatoes feeding him.
No, there is a thing called the Google 10 that they talk about where you put on 10 pounds after
immediately.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you
and by the way, the
Tennessee
food is delicious
Ernie
there.
Ford.
Oh.
People say a man is made out of mud. Poor man's
propaganda.
Made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back
that's what this
strong.
Is about.
A mind that's store. Weak.
What do you get?
What did, that's you.
Wait, right, you older, different different
you are
listen,
weak.
Listen.
What is this?
I owe my soul to the company store.
Did you hear that, Ryan?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
I heard him submit as evidence a popular song.
That's going to happen to you.
That's going to happen to you. It's happening to you, Brushwood.
All right.
So Google, this is interesting that people are upset about this, yep. is now putting Gmail, or gives you the chance, you don't have to turn it on, I have it, puts your Gmail results in your Google search. And people are upset about this. I think this is great.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, secure. I don't know what you've got. Do you have the 4.1.1.1 Android Butter Plus?
I do.
Butter Plus?
Yes, I have Butter Plus.
The Butter, whatever it is. When you got the Google Now, it tells you all kinds.
Don't you love Google Now?
I actually do like it.
I was scared
about
it.
I know it's onerous. It's onerous, but I like it. It knows that I'm an Oakland A's fan. It gives me the score. It also knows I'm a Giants fan. It gives me the score. It tells me how far away I am from home. And then if I do a search on the machine and go back to my phone and I want to go to this place, it says, look. We got it already set up. Just hit the button, and I'm on my way.
That's a Company Town phone.
Who are you?
It sounds totally Company Town.
Who are you? This is you just did a freaking Frankenstein change. What's going on? He was like, oh, this is what I make everything wrong. Wake up, sheeple. I love Google Now. What is this?
Yep. You got it. A foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds, according to Emerson.
So I searched for John C. Dvorak on Google, and then a mixed in with my... Actually, I'm really starting to like this. Mixed in, and I was a little skeptical at first, but with the regular search results in the middle, I have the knowledge graph, which is right now, it's Google Plus, Profile Plus, Wikipedia. Other people, by the way, who show up? Adam Curry, Leo Laporte, Patrick Norton, Kevin Rose, and Brian Brushwood.
Those are fine individuals.
Isn't that great?
They're
that's
great.
The people I should be.
It's kind of scary that it just pulled out the podcast
the people
for
on
today
this show.
When you're gonna search.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
and then,
by the way, Chad,
and then, but notice,
this is how we book everyone from now on.
Yeah, that's how we do it, Chad. Just search for them and see who else shows up. And then the Gmail results. Now, it doesn't do all the Gmail results. If I search on Gmail, I'll get far more hits. But I think that's kind of an interesting
It's feature. Very interesting. It's dangerous but interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I understand people are concerned, but it's not like they don't
dangerous.
Already know that.
This is all over an encrypted connection. It's the same data and
they
the
know
same
it.
Company. They're just splicing it together.
Right. Yeah, they're sending half of it to the NSA, half of it to the CIA, and the
military intelligence.
Well,
they can do that without leaking into your search results, though.
Well, they might as well give it to you, too.
Let's talk about Apple.
Okay.
Let's talk about Apple. Let's talk about Samsung. First of all, there is an Apple-Google connection. There are three Google things, googly things on the iPhone, two of which are going to be gone soon. One is Apple is replacing Google Maps with its own iOS 6 Maps.
Mistake.
YouTube, the app, is gone, although I'm sure Google will offer its own better.
That's better for the consumers.
Yeah.
No, but even then, well, I mean, we may talk about this later. You want to talk about it now?
Go ahead. Let's talk about it now.
Well, I mean, the thing I like about the YouTube app going away is that as a content producer, it means that we can finally monetize mobile views, which you couldn't do because Apple made
you
that.
You couldn't put any ads on it.
Well, and plus, there was tons of stuff. Like, I've got content on my personal channel. I'll add popular music to different things. And then one of the crazy things everyone asks about is, like, how do you do your hair? And I just forward them the link to how I do my
By the way, what happened to your hair?
How do you do your hair?
I'm rocking.
It used to have the straight-up spiky hair, and
look,
now
man,
it's like he looks like
I don't
a,
make fun of you when you're flaccid.
There's still product in it.
He looks like a hipster now. You need a mustache, a douchebag mustache.
Do you use bedhead? What do you use? Because I've been trying to get
I use beeswax.
That.
I would forward
beeswax?
You the video.
Oh, send me the video.
Type in crazy video game hair 9 minutes. And this is a video where it's like a walkthrough of me doing the crazy spike.
Minutes it takes to do your hair?
It actually takes even less now. But
yeah,
like,
obviously.
I would just forward people this video right here, but it won't play on their mobile devices. And so finally, because they can monitor, by the
video
way,
it won't play at all.
That's a nice white fro, right?
That's
there.
An amazing haircut right
that's
there.
That's right.
Wow, I like it.
But because it's playing some music by Jason Forrest here, it won't play on any mobile device.
Because
but if
Jason
we have-
can't monetize it. So they decided, okay, it's content ID'd it. We're just going to block it.
Correct. Whoa, correct. It says cannot play on mobile devices. Yeah. But then you see here.
Why do you shake your head? There was a
I was,
head
I,
bang.
That was, it's part of the technique. It's not
so
true.
You know, the first guy who taught me how to put product in my hair was this cat right here.
This cat?
This cat right here. This hipster right here.
Wow. No.
I remember before a show, you went
into the... He told you how to cut your hair or shave or
no,
what?
No, he went into the... Don't you remember this? You would go in... You and Dan Heward would go in to the makeup room and you'd do your hair.
Before the show.
Before the show.
Yeah, of course.
Aren't you supposed to?
You had a hair person do your hair.
Yeah, you had a makeup person. Full time.
We had to do it ourselves. The old-fashioned way.
No, but they had this stuff and but the way you did it was odd because I would comb my hair. Right.
And you'd make it all nice.
We'd
mess ours up.
And you would actually intentionally kind of make it messy and then glue it that way.
It was the look.
So there was one screensaver.
So you went to messy? I never saw that.
That's right. You did it one time.
There was one screensaver where I said, Kevin, show me how to do it.
That's right.
Didn't work.
No, I can't
see
you.
Maybe I needed this video.
You need this video.
By the way, I'm almost done. You can see 8 minutes, and then there's...
That looks sharp.
There is actually on the wall, taped to our wall here, a spike.
Occasionally,
there... Lost it in a battle.
Yeah, he lost
it. I noticed one time he came in, and he had a moth stuck onto one of the spikes right through the gut.
Right. And impaled
it. Flapping.
You should see it when he's saving receipts, expense receipts
for his
trip.
He wants to get substance.
Yeah.
Can we talk about something besides my hair?
Yeah. So do you think Apple will remove Google Search from iOS 6? That's the last...
If I was Apple, I would.
I don't think so.
I think it's a mistake,
It must make them money.
You put in there? Bing?
Yeah, Bing.
Oh, God. That's depressing. Are you rebooting? Did Windows crash on you?
Maybe. A little bit. Just go about your business. There's nothing to see here.
That is a big laptop.
He's sitting here with his finger on the mouse switch. How does Windows crash these days? It doesn't crash anymore.
I don't know what it is. It's this thing takes a lot of physical abuse. I don't know if it's a hardware problem.
It's a hardware problem. Yeah. Sure.
Sure. That's the ticket.
You can make that check out to BRIAN.
So Apple design expert says Samsung is a copycat.
Oh, really?
So there's dueling tumble logs, you know. Apple copies Samsung.com and Samsung copies Apple.com, in which it apparently seems that every company copies every other company. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
What do you think? I would like to get kind of... You're the voice of sanity.
I am.
John C. Dvorak. I would like to get your take on this, because I think on the one hand you could say, hey, Apple has the right to protect its intellectual property. But isn't it the case in technology, and you've been an expert witness.
So absolutely.
I'll pretend I'm the attorney for the case here. Isn't it the case, Mr. Dvorak, that all technology companies have built upon the developments of other companies?
To be the attorney, actually, you had to be honest about it. The first thing they say is, do you really know what you're talking about? What school did you go to?
Do they really?
Hours and hours of
you're
this.
You're kidding.
To rack up the bill on the other guy.
Oh, that sucks.
Anyway, just to mention that. But it's good for me. I get the
you don't
charge
care.
More.
No,
charge
by the hour.
Sure, I can talk slow. This is the way it's always been done. In fact, I think that the whole patent system needs to be overhauled.
Well, that's the right answer, obviously. But it does feel like Apple is saying, on the one hand, you know, you copied swipe to unlock and you copied, you know, tap to click. And
it's
stuff.
Actually slightly different.
And
especially the glowing button that...
But yeah, I mean, if you look at notifications in iOS, that's directly ripped off from Android. There's just no question in my mind. Is Apple saying, well, you're open source so we can copy you, but you can't copy us? Is that...
I don't know. I think they're all douchebags.
That's nice. The right answer.
Did you guys see that Conan O'Brien video?
Yes. That's actually pretty funny. I think I played it last week, didn't I? Or did I play it on the last Twitter? Did I play it on Twig or something?
MacBreak Weekly.
Okay. Well, let me play it again then. Actually, while I'm getting that ready, why don't we take a look at what's coming up in the week ahead? Tom Merritt in our TNT newsroom.
Wow. He's over there waiting.
Hey, thanks, Leo. Here's a look at some of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Everyone's on vacation, so there's not that much going on. But Wednesday, August 15th, Gamescom kicks off in Cologne, Germany. There's going to be a lot of sneak peeks at games, things like World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria. Thursday, August 16th, happy birthday, Internet Explorer. Friday, August 17th, Gadget, GDGT.com, has a live event in Seattle. And also, Friday, August 17th, the CD turns 30 years old.
Wow.
That's a look at some of the things we'll be talking about in the week ahead on Tech News Today. Maybe there'll be a Kindle announcement or something. Back to you, Leo.
That's kind of hard to believe that the CD's 30 years old.
Wow. And still around.
Do you remember your first CD, John?
I remember the weirdest thing. I do, actually.
I totally
But
do.
I remember one day, because I used to shop at Tower Records for records, and then one day I walked in, and there wasn't overnight.
Yeah.
It was like you go, what happened all to the records all the records? There wasn't one record in the entire place. It was all CDs.
Have you been
overnight.
To Tower Records lately?
It's now it's broke.
It's a dry cleaners.
Yes. Actually, the one in San Francisco is a dry cleaners. Yeah. A green dry cleaners. Yeah.
You realize this is like confession time. You have to say what your first CD is.
I can't remember. It was what? I can't remember what it is.
I remember my first CD. I bought it in 1984.
Which was what?
It was... Avalon by Roxy Music.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I bought it is because I asked a friend of mine who was hip, who was with it. I said, I got a CD player. I want to buy a CD. What would be good to show off the new stereo? And they said Avalon. Actually, it was still one of my favorite records. What was your first CD?
I got a TurboGrafx CD attachment to my TurboGrafx 16 for Christmas. And so I have figured, I can play CDs now. So I
Was that a Sega?
No. It's TurboGrafx. It was a competitor to the Genesis.
Okay.
And so I got Sex Packets by Digital Underground, The Humpty Dance. You remember that?
No.
No, I don't either. I never heard of it.
You remember your first
CD? Yeah, MC Hammer.
MC
yes,
Hammer.
Yes, same
Can't
time.
Touch this.
Yeah, that was my first CD.
And now you're buddies.
I told him that, actually. Oh, I felt like a dork after I told him. Yeah. I'm like, you were my first CD. And he's like, cool. I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
thanks for
it.
Thanks.
Translation, I'm old.
You know, the most impressive thing I ever saw, though, was that picture. I don't know. This might be from Path again. I don't know if I can say this.
That picture of you freebasing.
Picture of you with Jack White.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Awesome.
That was crazy.
Of the White Stripes.
I didn't even... So I was in London randomly, and I just went to this
randomly
bar.
Randomly
just woke up in London.
Hey, I'm floating around, and now I'm in London.
Randomly.
I was talking at a conference. It was
Le Web,
of course.
Yeah.
Okay. It was their London conference. So I randomly was there. And I went to this bar, and I was with Kevin Systrom from Instagram, and he was like, hey, I know this model. I don't know why I'm telling this.
Too late, bro. You're digging
like,
a hole.
Let's go out to this bar.
Daria's sitting right over here. I just want to remind
listen,
you this.
Okay. It was all good. So
it was Kevin. It was all Kevin's right, sister. Exactly. It wasn't you.
So we went up to meet up with the supermodel, and like she's sitting there with like two other people or three other people, and I'm like, that guy looks familiar. And it's freaking Jack White. And I was like, holy shit.
He's a god.
Yeah, I know. And so I bought him some scotch, and we ended up getting hammered. I had a flight at 7 a.m. the next morning. I'm like, okay, do I go home at midnight? Or do I get hammered with Jack White?
Now, how do you explain?
This is like that get him to the Greek. It's just like the get him to the Greek.
How do you explain to someone like Jack White that like
he heard of the internet? Kevin was.
No, he did not.
He was a Dig fan.
Really?
Well,
yes.
He had heard of Dig, but he didn't know like he
That's all I'll tell you what, if you want to pull a scam.
He didn't even carry a cell phone. He's like, I don't believe in cell phones. I'm not. And his manager had like.
See, that's the way all these celebrities are. If you want to impress a celebrity, name a website they've heard of and be like, that was me. Like,
it's true.
They heard
no
of Instagram?
Idea.
It's me. How's he going to know the difference?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what Instagram was?
Because the founder of Instagram was sitting next to me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in.
You're the fan that was me. He's like, that
would have made it even better if you'd say Instagram. You know what that is?
That was mine.
I invented that.
That's right.
And Kevin's sister's going, what?
Yeah.
What? All right, here you go. Conan and Brian. I think this does actually... It does. It argues
it's
in Apple's.
It's a slow burn, but it gets good.
It argues in Apple's favor. Here you go.
Apple is claiming that Samsung copied iPhone technology to market its own products. Well, Samsung's vice president of electronics has already released a video that's defending his company. It's a video message defending Samsung. Let's take a look.
Hello. Apple's claim that Samsung has copied their technology is an allegation we're vigorously denying. Since we entered the personal electronics space, Samsung has created products that, as you can see, bear no similarity to Apple's. Notice the grayer edge of our Galaxy phone. And what about our Galaxy tablet? Not even close. It's not just electronics. Samsung's originality is also on display in our home appliances. Whether it's our new microwave oven, our VacPro vacuum cleaner, or eye washer with scroll wheel control. If you don't believe me, then come to our retail stores, where you can talk more about our products with a Samsung smart guy. a lot of people ask, how does Samsung stay so,
dream imagination.
So innovative? It's very simple, really. We stay true to the vision of Samsung founder Stefan Jobs.
Of course, it's Steve Jobs with a little long hair.
It's amazing.
You know, I think if they could show that in court, case closed, right? But it's more complicated than that. I mean, Apple copies. Everybody copies. We're all, it's all inseminated. Everybody's inseminating
everybody.
It's the only
way anything goes anywhere.
And
besides that, it's not as though anyone's starving to death in the process.
Well, you know who's not is the lawyers, of course. That trial will continue on. Let's talk about app.net. Dalton Caldwell, you must know Dalton. He started iMeme, very, very successful. Sold it. Who bought iMeme? AOL?
MySpace.
Yeah. I knew it was somebody hip and with it. and then he took some of that money and put it into something called PicPlease, which was very cool. In fact, it was before Instagram, there was PicPlease. Unfortunately, Instagram came out shortly thereafter and just knocked it out of the park with beautiful user interface. And PicPlease and ended up folding. He took some of that money and put it to app.net, which was a marketing tool for app developers, I guess. And he's pivoted app.net. And this came out after two very controversial postings Dalton put on his blog. For the first one talking about, and I'd be curious about your take on this, Kevin, going to Facebook and essentially being threatened by Facebook, saying, we are either going to acquire you or we're going to bury you. You got the choice.
I like that style.
I don't even know you anymore. What is this?
Well, that's what Dalton said. He said, Mark, what's the story? This is not the company you started. This is not what you want, is it? That was very controversial. Then he wrote an article about Twitter saying that they're poor stewards of what really should be almost a public utility, that Twitter made a choice early on, and this is, I guess, fairly well known in the Silicon Valley lore or San Francisco Valley lore, that Twitter had to decide at some point whether to support a third-party ecosystem and become kind of the internet dial tone or to become an ad-supported property. And when they decided to become an ad-supported property, inevitably what followed was you cut off the third parties. You need to drive people to your apps to see your ads.
Screw the little man.
Unfortunately, the Twitter was built on these third-party apps. That's what put Twitter on the map. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of third-party developers very upset, including Dalton, with Twitter. So he said, what I want to do, of course, this is the common wisdom. If you're not paying for something, then you are the product. You're the product on Facebook. You're the product on Twitter. The ads are what makes the money. You're the product on Twit. I mean, you're not paying for Twit. We show you ads. That's how we make our money. He said, but something like Twitter is too important to let it be owned by a single company. He's created something called app.net, which is he wants to make a paid Twitter service with an open API. In other words, take the other fork in the road that Twitter avoided. And he's raised $579,000.
There's something in here I've noticed looking at his page. It should be noted. Don't have Scoble, your buddy, quote anything for you. He says, he's got a quote here, words about app.net. Dalton Caldwell's learnings from failure are awesome. And he inspired me. His failure apparently inspired me to support his new idea.
I disagree with this. I think
that's a terrible quote.
You're
such a loser that I've given you some money.
There is no success without failure. The best
so
you can do
what?
Is
you
fail
don't
faster.
Put this in a quote?
Yes.
No.
By all means.
There's no. This is a negative way of doing things.
So it's very bare bones right now. I'm on app.net. It's early alpha stage.
So everyone has to pay.
Yeah.
That's his idea.
But we don't know how much. He hasn't said.
Too.
Well, no, we don't know.
Well, that's what he said.
That's what he's asking for now.
Okay. Right,
gave him $100 to be a developer. So with $100, you get access to additional developer tools.
Can we put a Deadpool in right now?
Well, that's the question. It really feels like it's going to be dead. And yet I really think we do need an open Twitter.
I think we do, too. But I'll put money down.
It's hopeless, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Because Twitter's so good, it works.
Now, why can't
and
they
so
do
does Facebook.
Like,
Facebook people love it.
Yeah. Why can't
I refuse
they do
to use
it?
You know what? Nobody, you know, that's interesting because every time they do studies, people who use Facebook hate it. Doesn't mean they don't use it. But nobody loves Facebook. But everybody wants what Facebook gives you, that connection.
So I think that he's doing a great thing for developers here with this idea. No doubt about that.
It's a great API.
It's a great API. It's a great idea for developers that have been burnt by Twitter. For consumers, I don't know that we feel that Twitter is
problem.
Just like I've never gone to Twitter and thought like, oh my God, so many ads on here. I just can't take it. Like, I think they do a pretty good job at keeping them lightweight and not, you know,
really
bombarding
He's
us.
He's solving a problem that exists, but nobody knows it exists. Perhaps. Is that you think?
Well, I mean, from a consumer perspective, is it a problem then at that point?
No.
Well, a lot of people are using this for brand building, too. They're using it like celebrities come on board, sports figures, you name it. They like the fact that they have 3 million plus
followers. Like, they're not going to use this if they only have, you know, 10,000 paid followers or 50,000 paid followers. Like,
right.
I just
I don't know if app.net will fix it or not, but one of the other articles that we were talking about tonight is the underground trade of Twitter followers, and I actually went on.
When you say paid followers, it really is paid.
Well, I'll tell you, like, and it's astonishing how cheap it is. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a little embarrassed of my Twitter follower count, and part of me wants to spend $18 to get 40,000 more followers on there.
So it's, Barracuda Labs, Barracuda, of course, is an appliance that businesses use to protect them. They did a research study. Jason Ding, research scientist at Barracuda Labs, set up a team of 3 Twitter accounts and purchased between 20,000 – purchased – between 20,000 and 70,000 Twitter followers from eBay.
Okay, so here, I just went to eBay and I typed in Twitter followers. And at the top, you got 30,000 Twitter followers within 96 hours, no admin access
required.
And this
actually works, by the way.
Sure, 20,000 followers for $15, 100,000 followers for $80. It's like, come on, man. It's like, let's just do this.
Buy it now.
Buy it now. Now. Buy it now. Buy it
makes
now.
Makes you wonder.
Buy it. Buy it. Buy it. Come on.
Stop I mean, look it. At these. They,
stop it.
They all promise. They get money-back guarantees. And
how does this work, first of all? How do these companies get that?
There's a million Chinese in that have joined Twitter, and they're all part of the scam.
Well, I'll tell you, it's probably all robot-controlled opened accounts. And what's funny is they actually mentioned specifically, like, no eggs. Like, none of them with the egg. They all have individual fake pictures.
That's important.
And then they also, you know, some of them are
eggs.
Yeah, exactly.
I love
and
it.
Some of them talk about, like, you know, tweeting since, you know, June
this is
or
the,
whatever.
This is the interesting thing. When they look at these followers that they bought, most of them don't have many tweets. They don't have many.
Here's the fake accounts. You're just doing it for the
number.
Kind of,
61% exactly. of the fake accounts were less than 3 months old. The average age, 19 weeks. 55% have fewer than 2,000 followers.
Is that a picture of Romney? Is he one of the
phonies?
Yeah,
apparently 10% of
this is an interesting infographic.
Yeah. Number of Mitt Romney's Twitter followers went up 17% in just one day on July 21st, 2012. And it's unfairly picking on Romney because there's other reasons where it's like you just need to boost your own credibility. I won't say who he is, but a friend of mine is developing a television property. And apparently it was a thing in one of the meetings that it came up that he just hadn't been playing the social media game. Super great on camera. This guy's going to have a dynamite show.
Yeah,
when you
name?
See it, you're going to have no way.
Come on.
Not going to tell you.
What difference does it make?
What's his first name?
Just his first
name. Is it Baratunde?
It's Kevin.
Kevin? It's not Kevin. That's bull crap.
But the important thing is they were all like, well, we're just really concerned because you only have 800 followers on Twitter. He's like, yeah, I don't do the Twitter thing. And they're like, yeah. And all of a sudden, he has a profit motive where it's like, well, crap, man. I'll spend $500 and fix that.
So you working with him now and you've discovered all these crazy ways of getting extra followers so you can help him out as a consultant? You're going to boost.
Hold on. This sounds like a brilliant idea. Let me get a piece of paper. Go ahead.
Well, you figured it out. Yeah, I don't have to go any further.
I think there's more than, by the way, you would presume, of course, that what it is that they're using people who are signing up for accounts. They're doing little gold farming kind of things. People in Asia,
yeah, sure.
Maybe Mechanical Turk. But here's an interesting one. This I don't know if I should show this person's
name. Come on,
name.
Show it.
This is one of the hackers who hacked Matt Honan. And this person has had this account for a very brief amount of time. He's got 123 tweets. He's following 70 people. He has 170,000.
I'm sorry. I'm looking. It looks like they put a picture of Boxy on there. Can you show it?
Come on, show it. Show it.
You can show it, I guess. So Cosmo the God is part of the UG.
Hannah Sweet?
Well, they just make up names. By the way, they change their names at random. He's part of the UG Nazi hacking group, which is a pretty... But here's what's interesting. He has 107,000 followers, even though he's only had 123 tweets. Those are obviously fake followers. I don't think he's buying them. I don't think he has any incentive to buy them. I think he's figured out ways to generate followers automatically in some sort of hack attack.
That would make sense. It's doable.
So I think it's a very interesting...
He's going to confess something.
Can I confess an idea that I wanted to do like 4 years ago to generate publicity when I finally got on Twitter and I had like maybe 5,000 followers? I was going to, and I apologize, Kevin.
Advance.
One of the unique aspects of Twitter is that you can change your username and everyone's still following you even though you're under a different name. So I was going to change my name from @Schwood to @Kevin_Rose and change my profile picture to Kevin Rose's because everyone figuring most of the people who follow me also follow Kevin Rose and figure out some kind of crazy thing to post pretending to be you. And it would look like it came
You're
from
like,
you.
Then I was going to crawl in your bed at night, and I'm like, where's this going, Ryan?
No, but it's like I never fully formed. I couldn't figure out what the big payoff was going to be, but I can't believe nobody's taken advantage of that. No one with hundreds of thousands of followers has pretended to be someone else and then flipped back.
Yeah, I don't think that's happened.
No.
Did Diggs have this problem at all? Were people doing that on Diggs?
They were paying for Diggs all the time, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big underground.
It's hard to stop. Yeah, I mean, can we fault Twitter for not stopping this?
It's extremely difficult.
They don't
need
care.
A full-time team.
What would they care? What's the bad part
of it?
It
only looks good for Twitter.
Yeah. It makes it look even like everyone's, wow, this
but
is
But it
happening.
Does it does attack the credibility of paying any attention to follower numbers, right? I mean, that's bogus. I guess they don't care.
What would the Twitter care?
Yeah, they don't care.
Have you noticed? I just
think back when Kevin and I were in a race.
Yeah, I know. The
to
two
be
of you
number
were...
one. You know how many followers we had when we were in a race? 5,000.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Hey, I was in the top 10 list during that era.
5,000 was like you were number one on Twitter if you had 5,000 followers.
I noticed this one thing earlier.
A follower meant something.
I got like 85,000 followers. I had like when you two were racing, I had when you got to 10,000. I remember, and the 10,000 is a good number.
I think it was 10,000 actually. Yeah.
When you get to 10,000 back then and you send out something, hey, link to this and you run it through Bitly or somewhere and you track it, you would get a 35%. You get a huge response.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Now, with this huge number, you say, click on it, 200 people.
Yeah. No, I think that's
it's
true.
Like everyone's given up on this thing. I think it's dead.
The thing is, I've been using Twitter more than ever.
Yeah, but you're not. Who cares? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. I'm just saying I like it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
Did I tell you how I got the verified check on Twitter?
How?
Well, because I applied.
I have never gotten a verified check, and I have begged for it.
Number one, first thing I did was I created an account called schwoodblackops.com, and I sent out a tweet
saying,
listen, if you're the type of person who wants to participate in something, at some point I may ask you to do something, and I can't publicly acknowledge
it. And that day may never come.
Exactly. So follow Schwood Black Ops. And every time I post something on that account, I instantly delete it, figuring it's out there. I've said the word. So at some point, whoever's in charge of the Schwood Black Ops account said, hey, everyone make fake Brian Brushwood accounts so that Brian Brushwood can complain about all these fake accounts ripping him off. And so sure enough, there was like SHW00D and all these other ones. And so I'm just like, Twitter, what's with all these? It's so hard. Nobody believes it's me anymore.
Oh. You played them.
Oh. All right.
A little social engineering.
Do you have a new
there.
Kickstarter
yep,
project?
Totally.
I don't have any. No.
Okay, somebody said in the chat room that.
Oh no! I have one that is going to be coming out next week. A company that I'm going to help fund. Yeah, it's going to be really.
So cool. That's interesting. So this is a company that's going through normal, traditional angel funding. VC funding, but they're still going to go to Kickstarter.
I don't know if they're going through VC funding or not. I'm going to try and convince them
to not do that.
No, to come in and take some money. But we'll see.
But they've decided
they
to go
to Kickstarter. That's
that
a weird thing about this. You know, it's like some of these companies, they can raise their entire round via Kickstarter and never have to give away any equity, which is awesome for the company.
It really changes the equation quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They rejected our plea.
What was yours?
We were going to help build the studio. We were going to have a Kickstarter project. We ended up just doing it ourselves.
What about this thing I heard about this coming in here? Something called Tech Guy Labs?
The new website's up.
Is there labs? I've been all over this place. I've not found the labs. Where are the Tech Guy Labs? Is there a sign on the door that says Tech Guy?
This whole thing is, what would it look like to you if it were a lab?
It would be a lab-like. It would be lab-like.
What do you mean lab-like?
No, he's got that hidden. I've been
Wait
down
a
here
minute.
In chambers downstairs.
Glassware? Is that what you're talking? You want
you
some glassware?
Yeah, I've been downstairs. I didn't see a lab down there. Yeah,
we've got vats.
We've got.
I wear a bunny suit.
I think you get one of those.
You got a St. Elmo's fire.
Going with these crazy.
You've been to Los Pollos Hermanos, right?
So, did you just reveal your plan to deal meth out of the Twit Labs?
That's what lab means to me. All right, we're going to take a break. You know what they did? You know what they did? They completely disintermediated the post office, and I wasn't even looking. Stamps.com. It's so cool. You do not have to go to the post office anymore.
This would mean, this is one of your major sponsors.
Yes.
This would mean that the post office is important to you. because they still use the postal system to deliver
that's
the mail.
That's true. No, that's
so
a very
you
good
shouldn't
point.
Be on the side of these idiots in Congress that are trying to screw the American public by closing the post office because of the phony baloney 75 years in advance.
Wait a minute. Are they trying to put the post office out of business?
Yeah. They made them pre-fund their retirement for the next 75 years so they could break them. And so now they're running in a deficit when they should be making a profit. This is a major scam that nobody wants to talk about except the postal unions.
So these people who are trying to do this, what is their motivation?
Well, maybe there's two things that are going on. One is UPS and FedEx would get all that business.
So maybe they're being funded by the
delivery
services.
That's a possibility.
Services.
The second thing is there's a lot of laws involving postal fraud and other sorts of things that allow a certain criminal activity to start taking place because you can send, for example, in fact, the Bank of America does this. They send something by mail, but when they send something that's a little sketchy that they could be busted for, they send it by FedEx.
What does Bank of America send via FedEx that's sketchy?
I'll talk to you. I'm going to discuss it in a future
like
no
heroin.
Agenda show.
Bank of America.
So no. They
deal heroin.
The Bank of America is foreclosing on people that they have no right to foreclose on. And they've been sending most of those – the paperwork on that all goes out to FedEx.
But you understand the United States Constitution.
Yeah, it's got it in there.
You know, created the Postal Service.
Yeah, I realize that.
Article 1, Section 8, Clause 7 empowers Congress to establish post offices.
They are trying to screw the post office.
But they can't because it's in the Constitution.
They can do whatever they want.
They can?
Who's they?
I don't know.
Congress is the one that's doing it.
They can't do whatever they want. It's in the gosh darn
Constitution. Yeah, but the post office can be shoved down to some little entity that means nothing.
Well, maybe this is a...
I'm telling you,
Stamps.com is trying to do this.
No, they're not. They're using the post. Stamps.com is doing the right thing, and you should do the right thing by Stamps.com.
I agree.
And support the post
office. You know, they've sent over 2 billion letters and packages using Stamps.com. 2 wow. billion letters and packages. The post office loves Stamps.com. I'll tell you why. Because you... basically, turn your desk into a post office. You print your own U.S. postage with your computer, your printer. You don't need a postage meter. You know who doesn't love Stamps.com? Pitney Bowes must hate these guys. Who's going to buy a postage meter or rent one? You can't even buy them. Who's going to lease a postage meter? When you can do this, you print it with your own computer. They have the USB scale. It automatically tells you exactly how much postage, so you never have to put a penny more on than you need.
Do you get a scale? I don't know. How do you know how much a package weighs?
You get a scale.
Oh, they give you a scale.
USB scale. Plugs right in the computer. So you plop the letter on there, prints right on the letter, which looks very nice. They'll even fill out forms. If you're an Amazon or eBay seller, they will take the data from the page and create the whole thing. Same thing with QuickBooks. So if you're doing invoices or so forth, it just takes it from QuickBooks.
You know what the best part is?
What?
You don't have to physically go to the post. If you put physical postage on your stamps, if it's over 2 pounds.
13 ounces,
right?
13 ounces.
Yeah, the Unabomber ruined it for all of us, right? So you can't put physical stamps on it, but if you have a meter, they'll come pick it up.
Well, you don't even need a meter, but you're right. The Indicia,
Stamps.com,
the Indicia
sure.
You're printing at Stamps.com, have identity information in it.
Right.
So they say, fine. The mail carrier comes, picks it up. You can schedule a pickup or use your regular pickup. It's just really great. I want you to try it now. There, if you go to stamps.com, you see the $80 value. You might say, that's good. I'll take it. Nope. Click the microphone up here, and I want you to enter TWIT in the offer code.
Magic.
That is
There's
magic.
A picture of Leo.
What?
That is magic.
What?
That's a really old picture of Leo.
You haven't changed. You haven't aged a moment.
And it turns that $80 offer into $110 value. You get $55 in postage coupons that you can use, free postage. You get the digital scale. You pay shipping and handling for that. It's less than $5. To pay for that, you get a $5 supply kit and a four-week trial. All of that just by going to stamps.com and using the offer code TWIT. So I do want you to try this, especially if you have a small business. Actually, you know, there's a stamps.com service fee, but if you use it enough, they'll waive the fee. So it's free. It really is a great service.
I've always liked stamps.com.
I am a big fan. You know, I found out about them. They own a company that would let you put stamps with your face on them. So I have Leo Laporte stamps. The problem is they're like 22-cent stamps. They're not.
They're still good.
Well, I need two of them.
Yeah, it just means more of your face.
More of my face.
It's been a while. I can never keep up.
Is it? What is it now?
It's That's 45 cents.
Is it 45?
I don't know. Is it? I don't know.
What is it? 44?
You need the lifetime stamp.
45, 44, 44, 44,
44, 44, 44, 44, 44, 44, 44. It's 45 now? That just shows you how many people use the post office. Nobody knows what postage
that
is.
They keep changing it because they've been gouged by
You know what? They buy those lifetime stamps and you don't know how much you're paying.
That's actually what I bought a bunch
It could
bunch
be $50.
Those.
You don't know.
Yeah.
You don't care. 45 cents. Wow.
Still
they raised it again. When'd they do that?
Because they're being screwed over and they need a little more money and cash flow.
Screwed over, sure.
They are.
Have you ever felt like they're being screwed over when you go to the post office? Who do you think's being screwed when you go to the post office?
I have a great post office. There's two post offices I have access to, and one of them is a fantastic operation. You get in, you get out. I don't have any complaints.
You go to the post office, they're dead inside.
This is
the soulless eyes.
This is your
post office worker. Nobody likes. It's the worst thing ever.
This is because you keep going in there. Will you stop?
So I want to build a set. This, I think, is another show. So we're going to do the game, the Dungeons & Dragons show. Another set, I'm going to build like a back porch, and I'll have like a little pickle.
Oh, you're not back on this again, are you?
Yeah, I have a little pickle barrel, a couple of rocking chairs. You and me, we'll sit there.
Pickle
we'll
barrel.
You know, it's a cracker barrel. The post office is really in trouble, John. Yep, I hear
I'm telling you, you got a
Congress has an
all over
form.
The map, man. They defending do. The post office? All right.
I like, you know what?
Look into it.
I have to admit, the best thing in the world, getting mail.
Oh, physical mail is great.
Yeah.
Mail sucks.
Wait,
you like getting letters in the mail?
Yes. Are you kidding? And you busted. It's a mystery, and you
can smell the perfume on there.
It's a mystery.
No, I don't know.
Do you ever get any mail?
Yes, it's the worst.
Why is it the worst? Did you get a paper cut?
I just want to pay for things online. Stop sending me bills.
Oh, bills. Well, yeah, I don't get bills.
And the flyers, the grocery flyers, like meat's 20% off.
I have.
I don't care.
Throw the grocery flyer out.
I have all my bills sent to prisoners in South Dakota.
You do paymybills.com?
Yeah.
Or it's Paytrust now.
Paytrust, yeah. You know this.
I finally shut it down. I used it for like
a
half
decade. You
shut it down? Yeah.
You don't use it anymore.
We moved, and then the bills I cared about were coming to my house. I was like, there's like two bills that were going up
really
to South
like
Dakota.
So, yeah. So all my bills go to South Dakota, where they're hand-entered carefully by prisoners.
This is still around? This was been around for
it's
a long time.
It's called
Paytrust.com.
Take my freaking grocery flyers and all the other stuff I don't like?
No.
Yes. Do you send everything?
Just make sure you change all the addresses.
Can you let certain ones through?
No,
like
the problem
Secret
is that junk mail is addressed to resident, right? It's not addressed to you. It's just to that address. So there's nothing anybody can do about that. There is something. There's an app you would like called Paper Karma.
I signed up for it.
Awesome? What is this thing? What is this?
Hey, you know, I'm more concerned about people calling me all hours of the day with a machine on the other end. Telling me there's some spot.
This is Mitt Romney.
Have a landline phone. That's why.
I know. Because you can talk on a landline phone without, hello, what?
Dude, you know
what? You're breaking up. I'm breaking up. Let me turn around the corners. You get better reception. I'm breaking up. What?
Verizon.
These phones suck.
I would get rid of my landline, except that, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I spaz out if my cell phone's more than 5 feet away from me. My wife could care less. And so it's like, I'll call the cell phone 5 times. It won't answer. Nobody picks up. Pick the landline. The whole house erupts with phone ringing, and she just wants to stop the ringing, so she picks up the phone. And it's like, it's the only reason I'm spending.
What kind of a wife do you have?
A delightful lady, pregnant with our third child.
Really? Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I find out the sex when I go back.
If you worked at Google, you'd get $1,000 a month.
Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to Kevin about that.
Let's take a break, find out what, you know, a lot of times I think people watch this show, and they go, really? Really? So just in case that's you, we do have other shows on the network that are just fabulous. Let's take a look at what you might have missed if you missed this week on Twit.
This is Twit. Tech News Today.
Tom, you don't like the old TV icon with the dials?
I really liked it 5 years ago when it first came out, but it could use a little
update. The problem is that it acts like an old TV.
Exactly.
All about Android.
I love how it knows who's in the categories, tech science and TV movies of the people that you're following. I love that. It just knows. I'm so excited by this
you
app.
You are.
iFi for the iPhone.
It's my absolute favorite must-have iPhone add-on for anybody who's a heavy app user or finds themselves running into battery life issues regularly. You don't have to live this way. Here's the answer.
Gizwiz.
The pop-up hot dog toaster.
Is it that hard to cook a hot dog that you need a pop-up hot dog toaster?
Well, really?
Hey, go toast a hot dog, kid. I'll be back later.
If you missed this week on Twitter, you missed a lot. No, you can't. You can't use those wieners that plump when you cook them.
This was a house ad, Leo.
Yeah, it's a house ad.
Huh.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just didn't think that you'd ever do a house ad ever.
I love it, for one.
Well, yeah.
Because
you.
We feature NSFW.
Of course.
But I think a lot of people who watch some of our shows don't know about NSFW, which is a really, really wonderful show.
And it should be said that actually this all was born out of the fact that, like, the stuff was happening, especially with Game On. Obviously, Game On, we didn't hit our numbers.
I
we
blew
had to
it
cancel.
On Game On, and right. I wanted to make sure I didn't do that.
And there was a lot of people who said, well, I'm a huge fan. If you, I didn't know you were doing a gaming show. You didn't blah, blah, blah. So this is a way to in-house let all the fans know.
Exactly how it happened. Speaking of which, Zane Donovan and Kevin Rose separated at birth.
Who is Zane Donovan?
I don't know. Is.
From Eureka. Show. He's maybe in Eureka, I believe.
Some guy, some random guy.
I don't think he looks that much like
him.
He
doesn't look anything like
maybe,
him.
Maybe if Kevin put on 30 more pounds, I don't know.
I think Kevin's a lot cuter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being so cute.
Word.
Facebook says likes are free speech. This is a really interesting case. A deputy sheriff lost his job after he liked the Facebook campaign page of his boss's rival.
Yeah.
They fired him because he liked the other guy.
Oh, that's
and they
not
get
good.
Elected.
Oh.
Okay.
Sounds like a bullshit story.
Moving on to item two. Let's see. I have other stories here. This is a good story, actually.
Unlike everything else we've covered.
Yeah, the appeals court says it's okay to wiretap people warrantlessly.
Oh, of course.
Why not? What could be
it
wrong
goes right
with that?
In with the company town thing.
Wait, wait.
So, I don't know. It really isn't technology, but it frosts my
it's
nuggets.
Kind of technology. You're wiretapping.
Yeah. Apparently, it is legal. These are the
Bush era
Bush
investigations.
Era spy program.
Well, the Obama can just kill it overnight.
Sure, because tell me one policy that Obama hasn't just done that was the Bush era policy just times 11. Like, we'll end the war in Afghanistan. Psych, we'll end it by sending more troops.
Yeah.
What, do you hate Obama?
I hate all of those assholes.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's different.
The National Security Agency is allowed to spy on you if you are making a call in the United States if they believe the other person on the other end is overseas and associated with terrorism. And they don't need to ask for a warrant. They just flip a switch and they listen. AT&T,
my understanding is that the NSA has been recording everything anyway.
Well, we don't know. This is certainly a case. AT&T has agreed to help out.
Help out. You know, we're going to help you guys out.
Now, this could be appealed. This was a single judge. This wasn't it was an appeals court, but we could go farther.
Yeah.
That bothers me.
Why?
I just thought I'd bring it up. Because I don't think the government should be allowed to spy on anybody without a warrant.
Huh.
Wait, what is this, huh?
What?
What's
nothing.
Called the Fourth Amendment, bro.
Bro,
why don't you check it out,
bro.
Unwarranted,
bro.
Sergeant Caesar, dude.
Yeah, you already got the dude thing out of the way.
Beware, people without Facebook accounts are suspicious.
That would be me.
No,
you don't
Facebook
have a Facebook account. Facebook.
No, there's a phony one on there that appears to be me, but it's not. Believe me.
Do you know what's
I
funny?
Do not want to. All I see is a bunch of everyone I know has got Facebook. They're slack jawed, bug eyed, and they're staring at the screen on Facebook, scrolling on what their high school friends were doing. That they haven't seen for 30 years, but now they're following them. So, what a waste of time!
So here's what's funny: is I read this article and I thought, well, this is bogus. I'm not suspicious of people who don't have Facebook accounts until just now when you said you don't have a Facebook account, and I got very suspicious.
That's a little weird. He doesn't have an answering machine either. It's a little weird. Slashdot pointed to a German news story in which an expert noted that mass murderers Anders Breivik, who's a Norwegian guy, and James Holmes from Aurora, Colorado, lacked much of a social media presence, leading to the conclusion that not having a Facebook account could be one of the first signs you may be a mass murderer.
One of the things you can do on TweetDeck is you can, pick which social network you want to post to. So before we went live, like 3 hours ago, I put something on my MySpace page saying, this is a test of my MySpace page. If you read this, I will send you $100. Write me at brian@schwa.com.
And did you get any takers?
No, not yet. Nobody seems to
now
have
Now you
it.
Will. I would take that down pretty quick.
Whatever.
It's too late.
I ain't giving you crap.
He's negated the deal.
Yeah. That was the end of the experiment.
Okay. Yes. Farhad Manjoo on Slate says, I think we've mentioned it before. If you're going out with someone and they don't have a Facebook profile,
yeah,
you
that's
should be
really
suspicious.
Weird. If you're a young person,
yeah, if you're in your 20s,
you're young.
I would say, yeah, if you're in your 20s, of course. Because you're going to be, you know, dating a lot of people, and you would be.
How about employers? You think employers should worry about somebody who doesn't have a Facebook page?
Well, I don't know. Would you be worried about someone who didn't have a telephone? You're going to hire someone at Twit, and you're like, "What's your phone number?" They're like, "Oh, I don't do phones."
No, we absolutely pay attention to how active future employees or prospective employees are on social media, and that's a big part.
Do you look at their Twitter?
You
and
bet.
Everything?
Yes, if they're not,
so you're doing what you say the government shouldn't do. You're spying in advance.
That's not spying. Preemptive. How's that spying?
Well,
I don't go to their house and go through their trash. Although that's a good idea, you might want to make a note of
it. Isn't a bad idea.
No, but I think that if you are a technology company and you're a broadcast company and you're in media and you want to hire somebody who and they're not participating in Twitter and Facebook, that's probably not a good indicator, right?
Absolutely.
I say no.
That was one of the first interview questions we had at Dig. Is like, what's
I'm
your Dig
on
account?
Twitter.
What's your Dig account? You're not going to hire somebody who doesn't use Dig.
Right, exactly.
That's crazy
That's
talk.
That's one of the first things we ask people.
I learned a lot from Kevin. You told me something really valuable, and actually I've used it in talks many times. You said at first at Dig we hired people for their skills, and then we realized that's a problem because that they're hidebound. And that really you hire people for their intelligence, their enthusiasm, and their ability to learn.
Generalists versus specialists.
They're generalists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was really great insight, and it certainly informed what we do. We don't want people that are...
No, wait. You know, you're going on and on about how they have to do this. They have to be rigidly and on Facebook, and they got to be on Twitter and all these things. And now you're saying they should just be crazy, wild-eyed generalists.
You remember Dane? He had 150 questionnaire that we gave everybody. Before we would hire them, you had to answer. Yeah, and it was things like where did Leo's salad go? It was like to test their Twit knowledge.
Well, this is what you said. You're
and
that
one
also
of the worst employees,
stalkers.
One of the worst employees we ever hired succeeded through that questionnaire.
Okay,
so.
Who was this?
I'm not saying names on that. I can't. That would
we
be,
can find out.
It would
John,
be illegal.
You still here?
It would be illegal.
It would be
hey,
illegal.
How did that AMA go for you? Now I have a theory.
I did it because of you.
Yeah, okay. So my theory is...
I went on the internet. I saw that you did one. I'm like, that's cool. I'm going
to
do one.
But then you went to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
What? You went to Alcatraz?
Why do I have to sit there at the computer?
Because that's how it works.
I didn't know
What's
that.
What's AMA? What are you talking about?
It's you're not to be blamed.
AMA is
you're
asking
not to be blamed because, of course, you'd never use Reddit because you had Dig.
We created this at Dig, and we did it where you'd ask all the questions.
The Dig Dialogue.
They would vote them up over the course of, like, you know, a couple few days.
It was like the Dig Dialogue.
It was the Dig Dialogue, yeah. Yeah. And that's how it worked. I just assumed it worked.
So Reddit stole the idea from you guys?
I don't know.
That's probably. What you want to say. Yeah, I'll say it for you.
I'm doing my AMA, and people are starting to say, hey, you know, Kevin started an AMA, but he's not answering. In fact, there's a picture from Instagram on Alcatraz. He's on Alcatraz.
It was a friend's birthday party.
So my theory was
Isn't
Kevin.
Isn't Alcatraz so, great?
Yeah, it's cool.
So
have you been there for, like, the nighttime parties?
No, but I got a tour from one of the park ranger that runs it. He took us in the back.
Oh, yeah. Ranger Craig.
That guy.
Yeah, he's a big fan. In fact, I want to – Ranger Craig, if you're watching, I want to contact you. I want to
do
a night tour.
I haven't heard from him for a
tour.
While. Maybe he's
not
there
anymore. There. No, he's still there. No, I had a theory because I thought, you know what? I was doing my AMA. Kevin Starr went, and he saw that, and he said, well, I'm just not going to do it while Leo's doing his. I'll come back later.
I just was going to a party. I mean, it wasn't like I was.
Yeah,
and then
man.
The next morning, I woke up, and then there was all these. There's
they were mad at you.
Stupid articles written
yeah.
about how I didn't do it, and I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do it.
You
and
made me
I'm
look
basically.
Good. You made me look good. Thank you.
It would be kind of funny just to like get all the Redditors.
Why are you not
to,
taking credit for this? You should be like, I totally, Leo. It was out of respect for you. Bro.
It was out of respect for you, Leo.
Thank you. So we're brought to you today by Carbonite.com.
Never heard of it. What does it do?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. That's four assists in one show. That's pretty darn good.
He'll take it to the limit.
You're pretty damn good, young man.
You'll be under the table in a minute.
Oh.
It's a online bag. Whatever you're on.
What's funny is I thought, like, am I drunk? And I was like, wait a minute. There's another meaning of that phrase.
Oh, I just got it, too. Carbonite. That's shocking. Carbonite online backup. Come here, muscly arms. Carbonite. I can't do that. I got to practice Herbert the Pervert. Come here, muscly arms.
No,
do you have to practice?
So, I wonder if you could find the dollar bills strapped to my thigh.
Did you already play you singing Dancing Queen as Herbert the Pervert?
The Dancing Queen
So Carbonite Online Backup is automatic.
By the way, they love it when you associate their service with pedophiles. I know, that's cute. I think it's in the docs somewhere.
All right, we're not doing this.
Yeah, that was good.
That was probably a mistake.
Leo, you must have what you meant to say.
Ad in the can here. Come on.
I think what you meant to say was that all your products and services, all your photos, all your documents, everything you care about, sooner or later your hard drives go to crap. And when they do, wish your stuff was backed up in the cloud.
You know, I hooked up, I don't know if Matt's going to do it, but Matt Honan, remember the Wired guy who got hacked last week?
Oh, yeah.
And he had pictures of his 18-month-old daughter from birth. He had them on one computer, the MacBook Air that the hackers wiped. And that was his only copy. And I said, Mac, what were you? You're a tech writer, and you didn't back up these.
It's crazy,
these pictures. But it happens to everybody. Everybody does this. Unfortunately, you do it the first time, and then you don't do it ever again. Right?
This happened to me a week and a half ago.
No,
I was giving a computer to my niece, my old Air, because Google gave me one. So I had an old Air sitting there.
It's very easy to wipe it and start over.
Yeah, so I just wiped it and started over, and I was like, and they went photos, but I had them backed up. So
good man. Yeah. Good man. Carbonite backs up whenever you're online automatically, continuously. You can encrypt it. It's HTTPS, so you can use it anywhere. You don't have to worry about that. But you can further encrypt it, and only you hold the keys, so it's very private. I love Carbonite, and I want you to try it out free for 2 weeks. Very affordable, $59 a year for your computer, less than $5 a month for everything on your hard drive. They do have external drive plans. They have multiple computer plans, small business plans. So visit the website, carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWIT. You can try it without a credit card. All you need is the offer code TWIT for 2 weeks. If you decide to buy, use TWIT again, and you'll get 14 months for the price of 12.
So do you know anything about, I'm here on the site looking at it, it talks about the mirror image backup. Because some of these services, they don't allow you to back up like video files.
This is how they do it. Now, and I think this is reasonable, and you can read the FAQ. But the default is not to back up those super large files. You can say, I want to back up that folder.
Okay.
And the reason is, I think it's using your upstream bandwidth. So people forget that, you know, if you have terabytes of data.
Uncompressed video, whatever it may be.
It's going to take a really long time because, there's lots of people out there who have 128K up. Mm-hmm. Do the math. It's going to take you 4 years to back up that 5 terabytes. So I think reasonably they turn off the super large files by default. So if you're just using the automatic settings. But you can always go in there.
If that's important to you, you can fix it.
Four gigabytes must be manually added. That makes sense. 4 gigabytes is actually
huge. It's huge. Yeah. So I think that's reasonable. I think they do have some limits on the trial offer as well. I don't think you'd get the full... I think you don't get to back up video on the trial offer. But
again, that's like once you've done it, think about it. Like it becomes incremental after that.
Yeah,
you get the bulk of the back. Yeah, exactly. It takes 2 weeks to do it at first, and then you're done. Awesome.
This made me so happy. The Ustream Mars Curiosity broadcast, right after it was happened Sunday, right after TWIT, we did our own broadcast, beat primetime CNN.
Okay, well.
Well,
first of all,
I know where you're going with this.
It's CNN we're talking about, who's not on the best of time.
But 3.2 million people in total checked the stream on Ustream. 3.2 million. Peak viewership, 500,000 people. Primetime Sunday night, CNN is 426 million, or 1,000, I should say, less. MSNBC, 365,000. Fox does have 803,000, so it's a little bit bigger. But that's a lot of people. It makes me wonder why... You didn't see much coverage of it on mainstream.
Well, I think because it required a lot of context. And this is something, if you tuned into the special, you saw that here at TWIT, it was
so
just a Robert Young.
Cool.
And it was, I saw you in the chat room as well. I Skyped in for a bit. Dr. Kiki Skyped in.
We had Bill Sell, who was in charge of the Sky Crane, explain what was going on.
It was the context
Sterling from How Things Work. Is that his name?
How Stuff Works. Jonathan Strickland.
Strickland, that's his name. And so, yes, you got a lot of context, but I really thought about this and I realized exactly what it is.
What is it?
Unmanned missions. It's very hard to get people to care about unmanned space missions. When there's humans, if there were humans landing on Mars, it'd be the biggest thing ever. They would have had to move the Olympics.
Right.
But because it was a machine, even though it's a Volkswagen-sized space lab.
You're totally correct on this.
Well, it's like, what, $2.6 billion?
It's an amazing thing. But it's not a human.
There's no risk involved.
I agree.
You
got to say, in watching the coverage, I think that you get excited because of what just happened.
Yes.
And that was cool. But
you're getting pictures back of Mars.
Yeah, yes, kind of.
You know, they were resizing them and trying to. They were okay. They were dusty. You kind of. I was hoping when I tuned in, I'm like, okay, here comes the live stream. When are they turn on the cameras? You know, right. I was expecting something a little bit more modern and HD streaming from Mars or something like that. I know the tech doesn't exist, but
yeah, it's 14. You understand it's 14 minutes by the speed of light to Mars.
That's crazy,
right? So, so that's the latency, well, and the bandwidth is only 8 kilobits per second.
You know, I'm watching this. It was so fun to watch it, the bad astronomer.
Phil Plait.
Phil Plait was also on our show, and he tweets, it's landed. And everybody said, no, it hasn't landed yet. It's just deploying the parachutes. No, he was right. It had landed.
Minutes. Yeah.
But we were seeing what was happening. Everybody at JPL was seeing what was happening 14 minutes
later.
So there's
no control then at all.
No. There was, in fact,
that's why it's amazing. Yeah, they had this crane autonomously launches, drops the nylon strings, cuts the strings, flies off. Well, it's amazing.
Think about how many problems they had to solve. This thing was coming down.
At least 10.
The atmosphere is too thin. Is too thin for
them
to use.
That'd be a great dig story. 10 things, 10 problems they solved to land on Mars.
Well, because the atmosphere is too thin. Like, people would look at the video, and first of all, NASA has become incredibly media savvy. They understand that now that they're a smaller operation.
I was impressed by that.
They understand the importance of social media.
They had Mars Curiosity tweeting.
Of course. They personified, anthropomorphized.
Had Mohawk guy tweeting.
Sure. And they also had a trailer to get people excited, to set up the context for everything. When people looked at the trailer, they're like, well, that's a bit cartoonish. This is a kludgy way to land a rover. But they used the parachutes at first to slow it down. You can't use the parachutes entirely because the Mars atmosphere is too thin. It's going to land and crash. This thing's like 1.5 tons.
Rockets.
Well, but the problem with rockets is you try to land it Buck Rogers style. There's so many fines on the Martian surface. And when you say fines are different than dust, dust are 1,000 times thicker than fines, that you're going to get them inside. It's going to be a big mess. It could screw up the equipment. So what they did
was basically like Burning Man.
Yes, yes.
After a week.
Everybody was high. It was amazing. But they used the parachutes to get it down to decelerate, and then they have this kind of lander with rockets, but they can't bring the rockets all the way down to the surface, so they have it hover, and they lower this 1.5-ton lander onto the surface. Great. And, man, it was electric. It was magic, man.
And those of us who were in the chat room really had a sense of we were participating and watching something exciting, but this is why you have manned missions, because if you're really going to get people to care, you got to put a person there, I think.
I'm in total agreement with your theory.
Well,
it's pricey, though.
It's pricey and it's dangerous,
and it's slow, you know, and stupid.
Curiosity ain't coming back. You put a human there, you kind of have to bring him back.
So Carl Sagan was big on robotic exploration. He was like, for every one human you send, you could send 10 robots.
It's the smart thing to do.
However, James Cameron is very big on getting people off this rock.
And that's because James Cameron's a storyteller, and he understands that without the human element, there's no consensus on this.
Cameron did an article in Wired in which he points out that not a single woman in the history of mankind has seen all of Earth as an orb from the distance. Only men, no women, and it's been like 30, 40 years since the last Apollo mission, since anyone. So he described low Earth orbit as the equivalent of putting your face up against a basketball.
I'm going to make a prediction. There is a young girl right now, probably middle school or high school.
It's my daughter.
Who will be the first woman on Mars, the first person on Mars. It will be a woman, and she is right now watching. Right now,
this show.
She's watching Twitch.
I love Daddy, and I hope I get to go to Mars. No.
I'm okay with this.
No, but she was definitely watching the Curiosity landing. She was definitely watching that, and I bet you anything that that's exactly what happens.
You know, that's
I hope it happens in my lifetime.
That's actually one of my big regrets, is that I was on the road when that happened. I would have loved to. Amazing. You know, we got an 8-inch Dobsonian telescope, and we covered the Venus transit. We covered the Ring of Fire.
Oh, that's neat.
Eclipse.
One last story, and I want to ask John about this because he has a little bit of a dog in this hunt. Craigslist is basically shutting down all access. They've now asked the search engines to stop indexing Craigslist ads so they don't appear in the cache, so that companies like PadMapper and 3Taps can no longer get access to Craigslist data. Your son wrote a really cool Craigslist tool and was shut down by Craigslist, wasn't he?
Right, a couple times.
Is it Eric?
He has a private version now that you really don't – it's very hard to get access to. But he uses a completely different technique that takes a little longer. but it actually works just as well. And I don't think they can find him or shut him down at all now. But unfortunately, it's like, you know, five people get to use it.
What is the problem with Craigslist?
I don't know. He's got a stick up his ass. Seriously, what difference does it make to Craig, who's now spending a lot of time at cocktail parties drinking Chardonnay? What difference does it make to him whether or not
Jim Buckmaster is probably the guy who's
I'm not buying this for a minute.
You think it's Craig?
It has to be, because he's why? What difference does it make to him if I want to search Sacramento, Seattle, San Francisco, and maybe LA?
Eric's tool was cross city, which Craigslist does not allow.
Right,
you
could check off a bunch of boxes because you're maybe going to be in these areas, or there's places you can access. By driving, I mean, why can't I get Sacramento on the Bay Area search?
And PadMapper did a very cool thing. It would look through Craigslist listings and show you on a map, something Craigslist does not do, where all the listings are. So you could say, I want to be in this neighborhood. Let me look at the listings.
You guys have met Craig before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Craig. He's just like, he doesn't want to change anything. He likes squirrels. Like,
I think you're right. You
he
think
does
he's
like
just,
squirrels. He tweets them all the time.
Yeah. So you think it's just merely a kind of a deep-rooted conservatism.
Exactly. He's just like, he's happy with the way things are, man.
Doesn't want people screwing it up.
It is risky because ultimately somebody is going to come along and steal it. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, I would bet you have investments in three or four companies that are looking at
that. I think I know the space that's actually going to pull it off. And it's not going to be a direct Craigslist competitor, but I think it's going to be the build-out of the neighborhood graph.
Oh, you agree with Jenna Wortham writing in the New York Times. She was talking about Highlight, for instance, which is kind of using who's nearby. But you think it's going to be...
I'm not a fan of Highlight. I just have never gotten into it.
I know I am not either. I agree with you.
I think Nextdoor is doing good space. Nextdoor.com is doing good work in this space. I believe that... You know,
Nick Bilton's also written quite a bit about this, saying...
About neighborhood graphs being built out.
Yeah.
It's coming. I can feel it. Like, the fact that we don't know who our neighbors are in San Francisco. Like, I know who's to left and right and top and bottom, but I don't know who lives across the street or down the street.
Right.
There's going to be a graph built out. There's going to be services on top of that graph that are going to be everything from neighborhood watch to, creating a platform for trading goods with each other. It's going to happen. So I think that's how Craigslist will ultimately be disrupted.
Nick writes, so why hasn't anyone managed to unseat Craigslist, a site that's barely changed in close to 20 years? It has dug an effective moat by cultivating an exaggerated image of doing good, the peace sign icon, things
right,
like
I
that,
love that,
that keeps its customers loyal, while behind the scenes it bullies any rivals that come near and stifles innovation.
Social will take these guys away. That's what's going to happen.
Craig, you nice guy. Of course, he doesn't need the money now, right? I presume that he's done well
enough. He sold a big chunk of it to eBay, I think, a long time ago.
So
for
he's
hundreds
fine.
Of millions.
He's fine. Hey, it's been so much fun. You guys are great. I got to tell you, though, next week is going to be a much prettier show.
What?
Yes. Callie Lewis will be joining us. Shira Lazar will be joining us. But the prettiest of all, Kevin Pereira. It's going to
be. No way.
Yeah.
He's coming.
Yeah. So, okay, what is this the people fight. I used Is this the people I used to fight with episode that you have coming up next week?
It's all the people I hate next week on Twit. I hope you'll all tune in for that. No, I felt so bad because.
He's a good dude. You said that too.
It's boring, but somebody asked me on Twitter, why don't you have Adam Sessler and Kevin Pereira on ever? And I foolishly, because it's the brevity of Twitter, I said, well, because they're tainted by G4. Boy, did I break somebody's heart. I mean,
it's tough to have that nuance, because what you meant to say is that's the reason they haven't been on is because I'm still bitter about G4.
Still bitter.
Well, and actually I invoked your name because I said, you know, one of the things I fear is that G4 bro audience, I think that some ways...
Oh, yeah, you brought this up the other
Diggs
day.
Diggs audience kind of got tainted a little bit because your association with G4 brought in a bunch of kind of not such great community members. And I think that's not what hurt Diggs in the
long run. You said idiots, though, I think is the word.
Idiots would be the word.
Yeah.
So, in fact, what I said is I don't think there's... I love Adam Sessler, and I think there's nothing... I don't know Kevin Pereira, and in fact, I've never seen his work, but I'm sure he's a nice guy. Everybody I know, like you and Sarah, says he's great. But it wasn't that I didn't want them on. It was I didn't want their fans on. And in fact, I think I proved my case. If you saw the bitter invective that I got on Twitter from his fans, it was kind of like,
you're an idiot.
You proved the point.
I proved the point.
Yeah.
I think I saw that tweet actually. It was like, across the street. I don't even understand that.
And they said,
you can continue the barrage.
But then
there,
I got a very sweet direct message from Kevin who said, hey, I feel bad. I was a big Screensavers fan. I was 23 years old. I didn't know what, you know, I took it. It was a job. And so I felt so bad. I said, Kevin, come on the show. So he's going to be on the show next week.
Guy.
I don't know him. I've never met him. I've never seen his work. I never watched you on G4. I've never watched a minute of G4 television. So I don't know. But I'm sure he's nice. And we'll find out. And Shira's great. And Callie Lewis is great. So it's going to be a wonderful
show.
Can't
go wrong.
I had a fight with Callie Lewis over climate change. I guess I'm right.
I thought it was over something else.
No, it was climate change. And, yeah.
See, I don't even know what the question is because there's so many questions.
She and I were debating whether it was man-made. Nobody debates now that there is climate change.
Yeah, and it's probably man-made.
But
the real debate is like,
what can you do about it?
What can we do and what should we do?
It's very simple. You should paint your roofs white. If everybody painted their roofs white, it would increase the albedo of the Earth by a significant percentage, reflecting the sun's rays back into space.
Have you watched Cool It, the documentary?
Yeah, that'll do it.
With the skeptical environment? Environmentalists?
Is that what they suggest?
Well, among other things. He talks about, like, people... There's things that people buy to feel good about the environment, and then there's things that people could do that actually make a big impact.
Right. Yeah. And painting your roof white would be one of them.
Would be the hugest, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'll paint anybody's roof white as soon as you go to my MySpace page.
First in the next 5 minutes.
First person who goes to my MySpace page and says...
By the way, I've gotten 6 emails saying $100.
John C. Dvorak is at noagendashow.com.
Channeldvorak.org or chat.com. Dvorak.org/blog. I don't know.
He can't even get his URL.
I got too many things going on.
There's this thing called a cell phone. Have you ever tried it?
I got one right here.
Oh,
see?
Yeah, that's good.
A big one.
You don't do the burners anymore. You decided to go for the real phone.
Well, now you can virtualize the burner experience. You know about that app, right? That gives you, like, you can get a 20-minute burner or a 7-day burner.
On a real phone?
A phone. It's an app. You just buy them.
Does it give you a new number each time?
Yes, it gives you a number and it burns. They do point out, like, we will comply with all, you know,
law enforcement.
So if somebody subpoenas
them, they'll...
Right. But meanwhile, if you're out dating and you don't want to give your real number, you just use the burner app.
Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm at Los Pollos Hermanos, having a little chicken dinner. Kevin Rose, great to see you. Congratulations on your success. I love the Chrome logo, the sticker on your MacBook Air.
Pick that up at the Goog.
You having fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's cool to see all the stuff that hasn't been launched yet. I think that's one of the...
So you know secrets.
A handful.
Yeah, you know some cool stuff.
The Google X stuff is awesome.
Yeah,
everything
that
they're building out there.
It's Google branded ecstasy.
Yes. That's exactly
what it sounds like.
What's with Larry's voice? Tabs. Do you know what's going on
it's
with
It's coming
that?
Back.
It's coming back?
Yeah.
Good.
I've heard him speak.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Coming back.
So he's just a little squeaky.
Yeah, it's one of those things
like
where
this?
You just lost it for, you know, a couple months or something.
I'd
like
to talk to y'all about Google, about Carbonite. You know, we've got these autonomous vehicles.
Would now you like you're getting to go back for to that pedophile voice.
Oh, all right.
I think it's
go for a ride in my car.
Just about.
You know, I have candy.
Candy in my pocket.
You're doing this too good, Leo. Wow. Too good.
Sounds a little rehearsed, if you ask me.
I've been practicing.
I'm sure you have. Everyone Google Leo Laporte Dancing Queen. That's a good
one. That's it. That's the official one right
there. Is there a video on, like, the internet of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They showed it.
It's
careful.
My favorite song.
It's you did the whole thing. You lived in...
I've got Skittles.
Brian Brushwood, Schwood.com. He's got the world's largest computer, and it is finally rebooting.
It is large.
It's finally rebooting.
Finally rebooting.
It's a giant. It's a
Do you know that's what
says Origin on
I was about
it.
4060X, I think.
I was about 46. To get a MacBook, but they didn't do the Retina on the 17-inch, and I don't think I'm gonna now.
Oh, you don't need a 17-inch when you've got Retina, baby.
Well, if you shove your face
you
in
you want to come over and see my Retina display?
Okay, all right.
You have to get closer to appreciate it.
You gotta get really close.
I want to thank you all for being here through this nightmare that we call TWIT. We do this show every Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 2200 UTC. I do hope you'll watch live. It's fun to see the chat room blow up whenever we say anything. And by the way, come in studio, too. We've got a great studio on it. So if you're ever in the area, email us tickets@twit.tv. That's the new address we use. Who came here from the farthest? Is there...
Oh, yeah.
Anybody from outside the U.S. Here? Yes, sir. Where are you from? Where? Brazil.
Never heard of
Brazil.
Tell us about our sponsor, Brazil.
Say, sir. I can't hear
in your face, Brazil. Holland.
Holland. The Netherlands. No, no, where Brazil, are you from, I think, sir? Is... Poland. Wow.
He wins.
Where are you from? Just Texas.
Texas? I guess that is out of the country.
Where are you from? Canada. That's so does we that have mean... people from Poland, Canada, Brazil.
And Holland.
And Holland here. That is just amazing.
France. And France. Where is the French?
That was him.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you said Texas.
No, he said France.
France.
France is not Texas.
I came from Indonesia.
And, I don't know if that counts.
And he came from Indonesia, direct flight.
There you go.
Appreciate it.
Is that right?
It's wonderful.
Actually, and,
you flew in and you're headed back to Austin? Is that the deal?
Yes, yes.
He hasn't been home in 2 weeks.
I haven't seen
what
him.
What were you doing in Indonesia?
I was doing that. We talked about this. I did this TV special.
Early in the show, we mentioned it.
Yeah,
it's been, no, that's
so
right.
I was doing
now.
My email.
But
yeah, it was
I didn't
hour,
get to tell you my
ago.
Favorite part. My favorite part was I spent like 2 days after the TV special getting recognized around in Indonesia. And then when I got on the plane to Taipei, I was like, all right, now that's over. Walking through Taipei Airport, I'm walking along. It's like 2 a.m. And someone goes, Brian Brushwood? And I turn, and the guy goes, like, I love all your stuff. And I'm like, well, which stuff? And I'm trying to feel him out. And he goes, like, I bought a brick at the Brick House.
Oh,
I might come see you this week.
It's really neat.
It was amazing.
I really appreciate everybody who's here in studio, everybody who's watching at home. We're very grateful. It's great to be able to do a show that is this silly and this crazy.
And silly?
And have some fun while we're doing it. So thank you. We'll see you next time. Another twit is in the can.
Amazing.